ho, Vern. Merry Christmas.
I thought you said this Vern was a friend of yours.
No, Vern's just like that. He'll do anything for a laugh. Come on. It's Santa's little party helper.
Hi.
This is Harmony. She's been having kind of a tough time, so I'm helping her out. You know, kind of a father image kind of thing.
As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Know what I mean?
It'll look good right over here, Vern.
Nice place. It's really you.
Yeah, I just set it right in there. Don't worry, Vern. I'll make it fit. You know, hang it up. Tinsel and some lights on this puppy. And... Oh. Party punch. Yeah, that ought to hold.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Would you give me a hand with the bags?
Certainly. You take the blonde and I'll take the man in the tithing.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I command you. As King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
We're now listening to a cinema to a cinema to a cinema.
Merry Christmas to all and to all. A good day. Welcome to episode 102 of Cinema Crespodiso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Hanging out. It's Christmas time. Christmas time. Christmas is in the air. How do you know it's Christmas time? Let me tell you. Remember when you started your car this morning and it kind of took a couple extra seconds to start up and you're afraid, I have a little bit of car problems there. That's the Christmas holiday spirit right there. You know how you went to the grocery store the other day and you didn't have enough money in the bank account? Kind of got declined there at the register? Merry Christmas! That's what this season's all about. How you guys doing? We're all in this together now. We're all going to have a good time. It's going to be a great episode. Looking forward to it. Got my co-host, Drew Sikogren. Drew.
What up, yo?
Merry Christmas, Drew.
Merry Christmas, Chris.
You know all about Christmas.
I do.
You experience it every year.
I do.
Sometimes year-round. Drew Sikogren.
It can be a bit sickening at times.
A year-round Christmas practitioner. Oh, yeah. It can be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that one circle of hell that's continuous hell.
Ah, yes. That's what this one feels like.
With more tinsel.
Just a little bit.
And jolliness. Coming back on the show, I think our... third time for this year. So excited. This is awesome. He was on our Christmas episode last year, so now it's a tradition. Now he's stuck doing it every year. Thank goodness. We got SBK.
Hey,
Kevin.
Hey. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Merry
sir.
Christmas, Kevin.
Merry Christmas.
Another guy who knows all about the Christmas holiday spirit.
Well, yes, I do. And I was here last year for it?
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes, you were.
Really?
Which is why I asked you to come back. I was like, this is perfect.
Now, what is Christmas?
Christmas is that wonderful time of the year
where...
The bills are piling up.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got a lot of things to do, and you're running out of time to do them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things around the corner that you have to take care of, and you don't want them, and they're just getting closer and closer, and it's weighing down on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole time, you just put a smile on your face and you push through it. It's Christmas.
That's every day.
Merry Christmas.
That's life. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, thank you very much for coming on, dude. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, man. I was, just sitting around the house and I was thinking, I was like, I had my alarm set for Christmas.
Nice.
And so I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we have a lot to talk about. The second half's going to be packed with stuff. We're going to talk about that Sony thing with the interview.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
I mean, the last few days, that's
so ridiculous.
That story went crazy. So we got a lot to talk about there. Mm-hmm. Got a couple emails. Switching it up with the emails.
Switching.
switching up a little bit.
Are you are you emailing people and then reading your emails that you sent?
I am now.
Here's an email I sent to a guy.
And it's a series of questions with no answers, and then moving on. And then
I like that. That's a new technique.
And then I never recap. I never come back. And if they respond, never read the response. Mm-hmm.
No. Or you pick somebody you don't like, right?
Yeah.
You send them an email and said, I sent this, and there was no response.
No response. They refused to reply.
Yes.
No comment at this time. No, all I'm going to do is I'm going to give Drew the emails so he can read them.
Oh,
for now, I want Drew to read us the emails and stuff. Because I get some every week. You know, cinemacrespedito@gmail.com. Email the show with all sorts of stuff. So that's more stuff for Drew to do.
Okay.
More stuff.
Can you read, Drew?
I can read. I am literate, yes.
Well, I mean, you know.
Look at that. Boxes and boxes of comic books over there. It says
I just look at the pretty pictures.
Oh, he just looks at the pictures.
Come on, you can't use comic books.
They are comics.
Yeah, he might be looking at the pictures.
Some of those get wordy, man. You know?
Yeah.
I get disappointed when they get wordy. I'm like, come on.
Hey, I like your Christmas display here.
Yes. All my this is knickknacks and tchotchkes and kitschy things.
You're mixing a couple of worlds here.
I got the Peanuts with the Simpsons.
So you're a big Peanuts fan.
The Peanuts Christmas, yes. I got the Frosty Snowman.
Oh, Frosty Snowman. I didn't say Frosty. Why you got Frosty in the back?
And, I had to make room for the headphone amp. I got the Grinch.
Grinch stuff.
Grinches. I got the Sesame Street.
Right.
There's a Batman in there somewhere.
Okay, all right. That's all Christmas. Batman's all about.
Yeah.
He's a regular dude.
Yeah, he is.
Just put on an outfit. Just to try to, you know, make it through the day.
It's like his Halloween. He dresses up for it every day. Christmas is every day.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to do Sony talk, interview talk. Got a bunch of, we got the emails, movie news. I got people hitting us with their own little mini movie reviews, including one from Matt.
Oh, nice.
Matt who?
Maddie Ice.
Matt Cabin Matt?
Hashtag Burpees for Bucks. Matt was Cabin.
Hashtag Matt.
Hitting out something about a movie. I'm going to read that. We got Billy D's Death of the Movies segment. Oh, and Kevin, it's been a while. No, okay. Last time we were on was September.
Really?
I think,
it's been that long ago?
It's already been that long.
Man, I got fat and got skinny and got fatter.
It's crazy how time just flies like that. We've added a few things to the show. A couple elements, like sound things.
Nothing's going to fall down.
Nothing's going to fall on you, but
looking around
it's like going to make stuff a little more exciting, I think, for you, because you haven't heard some of these
is
things.
Is this chair rigged?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
There is an eject button, but Drew's in
charge. I knew this was a Sabian. I knew it.
Drew's in charge of the eject button, though. Right. So.
Just don't make me angry.
Stay on his good side. Okay. We got a lot to talk about. Before we do any of that, we got to do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Kevin, check this out here. Here we go.
Do it.
Where'd it go? I was supposed to have this up ready. Here we go.
Turn it on the randomizer.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Who was that on the beat?
That was all me.
That's all you?
That was all me.
Crespo, I knew you had mad skills.
Crespo acapella.
There you go. I have picked a winner.
From the Crespedisa Randomizer 9000, which is, at this time of year,
very festive.
Very festive. Very appropriate for the Christmas time of year.
Everything is themed.
I try to go that extra step.
It's those little extra little bells and whistles that people appreciate.
Exactly. Right. Especially visual things like this on the audio podcast work great. I said podcast.
Podcast?
Only audio podcast.
That's P-A-W-D cast, so right?
Podcast. So we got the thumbs up from Juicy Cogburn.
Uh-huh.
Kevin, what is this week's Netflix and Pick of the Week?
It is House of Flying Daggers.
Oh, shit. They just added that. Like less than a month ago.
Man, I mean, just going off the title alone.
It's intense. It gets intense. It gets crazy.
Don't go in this house.
Don't.
That's not many reviews.
Not unless you know what you're doing.
Well,
that movie's from 2004.
Four.
2004. Mm-hmm. It's a Zhang Yimou. Zhang Yimou. This guy, that guy directed the movie Hero. Have you ever seen Hero?
Hero is with who?
It's a kung fu movie with kung fu movie with Donnie Yen. No, I'm gonna have to lend you a DVD, buddy. No, you're gonna have to
I'm not up on my kung fu stuff, man.
I've always loved kung fu.
I'm more of a Chow Yun Fat type of guy.
Chow Yun Fat's good. That's the Chinese. That, yeah, that's so kung fu. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's gonna get you
either way. He also does a lot of the gun violence type movies, like John Woo type stuff.
What happened to Killer Jet Li?
He's semi-retired? Yeah, he's semi-retired, still doing movies here and there. He just was working on an action movie where some sort of onset accident killed,
like for real
onset accident, the director of cinematography died.
Wow.
What?
Yes. Something happened on a Jet Li set where some dude just died in China.
The cinematographer died.
The cinematographer died.
Man, everybody's in harm's way.
Yeah, seriously. That is crazy. So I didn't click on the article because that's a little too depressing. Maybe I'll check it out later. House of Flying Daggers, I don't think anyone died making that movie. Thank goodness. Knock on wood. Hopefully. But this guy is known for making like gorgeous, very beautiful, operatic, lush movies, but they're also kung fu films.
Okay.
So it's got like the crazy, like think Matrix style, like Wire kung fu action where people are like jumping around a little extra.
What's flying that? Around.
Yes, like the Crouching.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. It's stuff like that. It's a very operatic story. I think it might even be a telling of an old, like traditional Chinese story about a family, like a rich family. And there's like, you know, intrigue. And I think like someone's sleeping with someone else and things get all crazy. And then another family comes in. There's this one intense scene where an invading army comes in and they start attacking their like their huge palatial estate.
Right, right.
And it's just the amount of people in that scene. No CG. It's all like actual people with remember. The Chinese Olympics.
Yes.
The opening ceremony. Mm-hmm. Where it was just...
How they fixed the weather.
How they fixed the weather. Right. How they digitally CGI'd the fireworks in
there.
Yeah,
that
right?
was crazy.
That was crazy shit. But specifically how the field was just covered with people. Mm-hmm. And they were all doing the exact same thing. Like very... You
That's
know,
how this was, but for real.
Yes. Like this movie has that going on too. It's this the guy who directed this movie put together that opening ceremony.
Okay, so he already knew what he was doing.
Yes, that guy is, he's a legend over
there.
And when
this guy has an open casting call, people come out.
They do, yeah. So he got some of the best people available by the time, including Zhang Ziyi. She was in, was she in Crouching Tiger? She was in Crouching Tiger. She was a young chick.
She was the young tiger.
Yeah. The young flying dragon.
Hidden tiger.
The Flying Daggers. House of Flying Dragons. That'd be the sequel.
Okay.
But House of Flying Daggers is an awesome movie. And it's funny, that's a recent addition to the randomizer. Meanwhile, there's movies in there that I put in there like a year and a half ago.
This never stuff touched. Just doesn't come up to the top. You never know.
That's the way it works, man. That's the universe telling us what to watch at this time. So enjoy your Christmas with some wushu chop sake action.
Yeah, wushu chop sake. I like that. I'm hungry now.
All right. Drewsa Cogburn, you got the box office recap there.
Yeah, we're starting off at number 27 this week.
I love when the top five starts out at number 27.
Mm-hmm. That's always
a good sign.
Number 27 this week, The Babadook.
The Babadook.
Had a weekend gross at $89.9.
That's a cartoon, right?
$1,000.
How much?
$89,000.
The Babadook is, kids play with it.
The Marmaduke.
79 screens. It has a total domestic gross of just under $500,000.
What is the Babadook? Okay, the Babadook is
the
not...
The Babadook.
It is not Baloo the Bear Marmaduke crossover.
Babadook.
It's an Australian horror film, Kevin. Whoa. That's what it is.
About some creepy man in a top hat that lives in a book.
Named
so there's a legend of the Babadook.
The Mr. Babadook.
Mr. Babadook.
Babadook.
And then
when he knocks, it's Babadook. Duke.
Like, yeah. Whoa,
is that their boogeyman or something?
Kind of.
Yeah,
do people over there know about this? This is like folk,
I don't think so. No, I think this is something they just made up for this movie.
Okay.
It's brand new lore that they could make into a whole series of movies.
So he comes and knocks on your door, duke, and then what? Take your booty.
All right. In this movie, it's to set it up. It's about a lady who she's a single mom. How old's the kid? Like seven.
Seven.
The kid's 7 years old. Pain in the ass kid. Seems to have some like mental issues. Maybe no one else likes the kid. He's a very weird kid.
Right.
Very afraid of monsters.
And he makes weapons for fun.
And he makes weapons to protect
from the monsters.
To make protect himself from the monsters.
Real weapons though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like a wooden gun that shoots darts. Mm-hmm. Not very effective weapons.
No.
To be honest.
Oh, okay.
But he
very
makes
ineffective weapons.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He makes this like crazy slingshot thing that like it's an arm connected to his back on a pack. And when he hits the lever, it like. Throws a ball for him.
Okay.
But he could have just picked up the ball and thrown it.
It's like elaborate setup for like,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It's a bit of a letdown, actually.
Right.
Maybe it's not really spoilery. Anyway, so this woman, she's raising this kid by herself. What happened was the husband died in a car accident on the way to the hospital to give birth to the kid.
Damn.
So she is kind of resentful of the kid. And every time the birthday rolls around, it's also the anniversary of the guy dying. So it's like, well, yeah, good for you. It's your birthday, but also my husband's dead. So she's having a hard time of it, you know.
Yeah.
She's, so the movie's very much about her growing resentment of the kid. Okay. And then at the same time, and then here's where the Babadook comes.
Okay, I was like, where is the Babadook?
Yeah, here's the Babadook. The kid pulls a book off, because they read books every night before they go to bed, pulls a random book off the bookshelf, and she's like, where did you get this? And he's just like, from the shelf. I'm like, all right. And it's Mr. Babadook.
Yes.
And it's this creepy little book with the, what do they call it? The pull-up?
Pop-ups, right.
Yes, yeah. And it's a really creepy thing like that, and it's this really short little story about the Babadook, and how it knocks on your door three times, like, don't let him in, because once you see him, you're gonna wish you were dead. Yeah. And it's like a creepy little thing. And then once that happens, that's when crazy shit starts happening.
Once they read the book, they invoke the spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, Babadook come and knocking, duke.
Yep, and come knocking, before you know it,
insanity
starts happening.
This sounds pretty good.
Drew, wasn't bad.
Honestly, what did you think of it?
I mean, for what it was, I'm really not into horror movies, but it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of jump scares. It's not like there's this crazy, stupid monster that, you know, you keep getting flashes of that with no payoff at the end.
Yeah.
It was a very small, contained, kind of tense horror movie.
But did they show the Babadook?
A couple times.
The Babadook.
Did they show him?
A couple times.
Yeah, they do a couple times in...
Yeah, sharp teeth.
In passing.
You rarely see its face.
Does he talk?
You never... Yeah. You hear its voice.
Yes.
There are times when you hear its voice. Like one time...
Hello!
Hello, the Babadook! I'm the Babadook!
Was that Bill Cosby?
No, it was... Hello, the Babadook! Drink this, the Babadook.
Yeah. Drink this and then see the Babadook.
And then see the Babadook. The
Babadook. Babadook. That's what I'm going to do to you when you pass out.
Yeah, you're going to get Babadooked. Oh, boy. No, it's... you only see its face in passing a couple times. It's more like you see its extremities. It's always like an all... like just all black, almost like an absence of light and color. So even when there's a scene where it's like a lot of shadows around it, it's almost like it's sucking in the shadows around it, and it's kind of sort of coming out of the darkness.
Ultra black.
You don't want to mess with that thing.
No. Yeah, it's like extra. It's like looking at a black hole. It's like, whoa, it's creepy looking.
And
like
the black hole is the shape of a man.
In the shape of a weird man. No, it's like it wants to, according to the
it wants
the
to
book,
be a friend.
It wants to be your friend, but it also wants to get inside of you.
Oh, I'm not falling for that.
Yeah. Well, like Drew said, I'm also not a big fan of horror movies. Not my thing, but I like them when they're well made, and I think this one's really, really well made.
Right.
I actually really liked it. I thought it was cool. It is a pretty good payoff for what the Babadook is, what eventually happens. That's the thing with movies like this, with like kind of a haunted house type of thing, or you're always worried about the payoff being like, disappointing. The journey is more fun than when you actually get to the end. Usually. Mm-hmm. I think this one, though, it works pretty good. It has a weird ending.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Where it's like, oh, that's... like I did
that's
not
weird.
I didn't expect it to end where it did.
Mm-hmm. Or how it did.
Yeah, or how it did. But thematically, I think it works. It makes sense. You know, I'm still trying... I'm going to write a review of it that I'm going to try not to get too spoilery, but it's good with the themes, though. The whole themes of the raising the son and... the hardship of being a single parent, and you know,
it's set in Australia.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're talking that Augie.
They're talking Australian. Uh-huh. A little bit of Australian, but I find that a little easier to understand with my dumb American ears than the English. Man. You know, the British.
Yeah.
Especially the Cockney, those guys get so like what? Or South African?
No.
Those guys sometimes.
That's all.
Don't know
saying.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
No, Australian's a little easier, I think.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. For me, anyway. It's a good movie. I would say, if it's in a theater near you, it's worth seeing. How many theaters did you say it was playing in? Like
700.
But it was number 27 this week.
Number 27, because people don't really know. It's not
79.
It's only playing in 79 theaters. Oh. One of them happened to be at the Enzion this weekend.
Right.
Shout out to the Enzion. Had us a picture of OBP.
Okay.
Delicious OBP. How can you go wrong?
Ice cold.
OBP in a horror movie.
How can you go wrong? I would say, you know, if it's playing in one of those 79 theaters that's near you, go check it out. On the Rotten Tomatoes. Out of 126 reviews, 98% of them are positive.
Mm-hmm.
Got an average rating of 8.2 out of 10.
Hmm.
Consensus, the Babadook relies on real horror rather than cheap jump scares. That's what you said.
That's what you said.
Yeah. Now, you'd be surprised how this works sometimes.
Yeah, the consensus almost always is just a sum of what we said. It's very weird. And boasts a heartfelt, genuinely moving story to boot. Yeah, I agree.
Well, so you guys know how to watch movies.
We'll be watching them.
There's a difference in watching a movie to watch it and watching it for the purposes of reviewing, right?
No, not really.
You don't have to.
I just kind of watch the movie.
Little, but aren't you making little mental like notes? Like,
no,
no, not that was
no. Just most. I mean, sometimes if I'm watching a movie, something may jump out at me. Like, for example, that Ben Stiller movie that came out, the Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Halfway through that movie, I was like, this movie is product placement crazy. Like, they work Papa John's and Cinnabon into the plot,
and Domino's,
and Domino's into the plot. So I did, at that time, watching the movie, I made a mental note, like, this is pretty terrible.
It was weird. It just grabbed you. Right?
I don't like it. I went to note to myself to talk about this when I do the show. But for the most part, like you said, I'll just watch the movie. If something, oh, that's cool, I'll try to remember. That's cool. I want to talk about that later. But yeah, just watch it. When it's over, think about it in retrospect. Did I like it? What did I feel about it? Sometimes I got to give it a day or two.
Okay.
You know, when I first walked out of Green Lantern, I was entertained enough. I walked out, I was like, yeah. It's Ryan Reynolds. There was a giant doo-doo monster at the end. There was, you know, it was okay enough. And then, like, after a couple of weeks, thinking about it, writing about it, reading about it, it's like, you know what? Actually, yeah,
this is not very good.
Like that movie is not. The movie is no good. It is no good whatsoever.
It had to give it a moment to settle in.
That happens sometimes, you know, absolutely. So, but on first blush, I would say Babadook is quite good. And it's fun to say. Babadook. All right, so where are we? We're going back to the number five now. Let's do it.
Number five this week, The Hunger Games, Mockingjay, part one still of two, of book three.
Oh, man, I still hadn't seen that yet.
Weekend gross, almost $8 million, total of $289.2.
On its way to being a $300 million grossing film, the only one in the U.S. this year that made $300 million. Highest grossing film of 2014.
What about Guardians?
Guardians topped out around 225, 250,
right?
Something like that, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Not that much money being made at the domestic box office compared to the last couple of years. Could just be the movies that have been out. You know, who knows? We'll see. Next year, the Avengers coming out. That's going to be a big box office.
They'll win again.
They're going to smash it. They'll crush it. Yeah, you'll like it, Kevin.
All right.
Because I know you've seen the first two.
I definitely like the first two.
Yeah.
So,
but, I mean, it's definitely one where, because they split up the third book into two movies, it's all set up.
Right.
So
I know that payoff. Going into it.
Might as well wait for it. Might as well wait a year.
Oh, and I could double back to back.
Yeah.
I might do that.
And then, boom.
Watch it on DVD and then go see the movie.
Ooh. Or watch it on DVD and then just watch the other movie.
Oh, watch it both on DVD.
Because I know how there Kevin does it. Yeah. Know how he does it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, number four this week, Exodus: Gods and Kings. Had a weekend gross to $8.06 million, total of $38.9 on a budget of $140.
We saw this one last week, reviewed it.
Now, what is what part of the Bible is this? Now, it's just the Moses. Whole Exodus?
Moses, the Exodus.
Who plays Moses?
Christian Bale.
That Batman. Makes me laugh every time I hear that.
It's funny.
He is Moses.
Yes, Batman is Moses.
And he is
he ripped?
And he is a good actor. They never really show him, like, maybe you see his arms in the beginning.
Was he like a head in a jar? Or is he?
No, he's got armor on and robes. He's got armor on in the beginning when he's part of Pharaoh's army.
He never does the look at my ripped body.
He's always wearing his robes, his tattered robes.
Is he an older guy?
He ages throughout the story. Most of the story takes place over the course of like 15 years. Mm-hmm. There's like a 9-year gap in there. So he is like, you know,
it's literally the Exodus story.
Yeah.
It's the Ten Commandments. It's the plagues.
Is it him born and in the river and all of that?
You don't see that.
They talk about it, but it is obviously a big part of the story.
Yeah. I mean, it's straight out of the Bible. The, you know, Moses is a Hebrew slave, but he was raised by Egyptian family, all that stuff. And then
are they building the pyramids in the background?
They're building the pyramids in the background. They're building them in the foreground, bro. It's like,
that's what they do.
It's like we have these hundreds of thousands of slaves, and, you know, I mean, they're very upfront about the way the their portrayal of the slaves and all that stuff at the time, and then really Scott tried to do like kind of take out as much of the religious of it as possible
to try to make it a generic movie. Here's just a story,
not so generic,
but just to base the plague and some of the things that God did in science as opposed to myth.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so like at one point there's like four or five plagues happening in a row, boom, 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 like first four or five, and then Pharaoh Ramses, played by an Australian dude, Joel Edgerton, the guy from Warrior. It's crazy.
Well, and his dad is
John Turturro. His mom is Sigourney Weaver. One of the viceroys, another Egyptian viceroy, is this other Australian dude, Ben Mendelsohn. Aaron Paul is this crazy dude James, who helps out with the revolution.
Yeah.
The closest guy to the right race for all of these actors was Ben Kingsley as one of the Jewish slaves, Hebrew slaves.
Indian,
but he's Indian. But I mean, so he's half from that part of the sort of that part of the world.
Kind of not.
He's like 1,000 miles away from there.
But this is a Ridley Scott movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So I expect it to be, you know, just huge. Like his other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which it is.
Look, it is.
It looked.
It looked good.
It looks gigantic. It was epic. There's definitely like the parting of the sea is a crazy scene. All the plagues are crazy. Yeah. The frogs when the frogs come and all that stuff. The plagues, his plagues, start with a plague of crocodiles.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember that in the Bible. That's like in some other text somewhere that he found. Yeah.
Some
yeah,
apocrypha.
It's like some other like translation of the text. Some of them swap out the frogs with alligators or something.
Whoa.
So like it starts with a bunch of crocodiles.
Maybe he got a real big deal on crocodiles.
CG crocodiles.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were going for a special.
Yeah, maybe. He was like, yeah, we can throw these in there. It looks like fun. And it's a fun scene.
It was.
Watching all these dudes and
get mauled by crocodiles. And then the crocodiles eating each other.
So yeah, that's crazy. So the way the movie's set up, it's like Moses gets hit in the head in a rock slide. He goes up a mountain. He's not supposed to go
Moses
up.
Was Moses the drunk?
No, that's Noah.
Okay. Noah was
Noah,
drunk.
Noah,
was
the Noah drunk. Became the drunk.
All right.
Moses
got hit in the face with a rock.
Got hit in the face and in the back of the head with a giant rock.
Right.
When he wakes up, burning bush, God starts talking to him. The rest of the movie, he's communing with God. Whenever he's talking to God,
so they made him look crazy because he got hit in the head with a rock.
He's possibly crazy,
right?
Because it's open to interpretation.
Man, they're like, we want to do a religious movie, but
he could be schizophrenic.
He could also be a schizophrenic man. Yeah,
but they want people, non-religious people, to be accepted and not be like, oh, bullshit.
Yeah,
right. So they tried to give him a little slow.
I think they're going for both. They're trying to do the whole have your cake, eat it too type of thing. And I
can tolerate that from Ridley.
I thought it was okay. I appreciated the approach. I think a lot of people that, you know, the quote believers, people that want to see more straightforward from the Bible telling of that story, I don't think they'll be happy.
Did they throw a Hollywood element into it? Was there a Jar Jar Binks character?
No. The most Hollywood part of it is the whitewashing of the roles.
Oh, right.
That's definitely the most Hollywood
Sigourney
part.
Sigourney Weaver. Right?
Yeah, John Turturro is the Pharaoh. When he popped up, it was like,
really?
Not John Turturro.
I love John Turturro, but like, nah.
He's been everything.
He is in everything, too. And he's played Italians, Jews, Puerto Ricans,
exactly.
Egyptians.
So now he's played an Egyptian.
I can see it.
He is John Turturro.
All right.
But still, it's like...
Did you laugh when you saw him? Like, oh, man, what did he do?
It took me a second to recognize him. I think Drew chuckled. I heard Drew laugh.
Okay.
I was like, no.
The second I saw him, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be weird.
I was like, there's no way that's him, and that's him. All right. Drew liked the movie more than I did, for sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was eh. It's definitely...
I thought it was slightly above eh.
I thought it's like a DVD type thing.
Okay.
Red box it or, you know.
If you're on a plane, is that okay?
If you're on a plane.
Watch it on a plane.
Yeah, watch it on the tiny screen. It's cool.
Because it might put you to sleep. depending
not
on your
action,
movie taste,
you need a little more action.
It's drawn out.
You had bigger expectations because it was Ridley Scott.
I think so. Yeah,
That's what I was thinking.
It's just a little more.
That was the only reason why I would be interested.
Well, I also think the whole, like the Old Testament, the Torah, the first part of the Bible, it's filled with crazy stories.
Oh, all kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, that would make great movies because it's just insane stuff. But. Doesn't mean it's automatically going to be good, right. Like I'm working on my own. I got my own script on the side for because it's also public domain. That shit. Who owns a copyright to the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. So I got my Samson spec screenplay.
Okay.
The Vengeance of Samson. I'm
going
to cut that part out. I should have said that.
The Vengeance. Yeah.
I can't wait to see him slaughter all those people with the jaw.
With the jawbone of an ass. I wrote it. Kind of imagine it as what if they made this movie in the '80s, starring Steven Seagal as Samson. Mm-hmm. That's how I wrote it. So. Okay. Gonna have to give that one another pass before I start sending it out. So look for that in theaters 2019.
Just need a good jawbone, that's all.
A good jawbone scene?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously The Rock's gonna be my Samson.
Of course.
Really?
He's The Rock.
Okay, one thing. Give him some different teeth.
Like messed up teeth?
Well, everyone's teeth that appropriate for the time.
Period appropriate teeth.
That's the first thing I look at.
The white teeth. Yeah.
When you said that Aaron Paul played, I'm like, did he have those perfect, I'm not a methodic teeth?
Yeah, did he? Yes, he did. I didn't notice.
Did he?
Oh, he did have perfect white teeth.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They all did.
That's the biggest flaw in any movie, right?
It is super annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charlize Theron in A Million Ways to Die in the West. Like the most, like the fakest, most perfect set of chiclet chompers in her mouth. It was like,
but she redeemed herself in Monster, though, because she had to
do that's scary.
That's the right grill I'm talking about.
Yeah. See, that would have been awkward if she had
perfect
teeth.
She's kind of hot a little bit.
No, not at all. Number three this week.
You crazy.
I knew because it was a movie. I was like, okay, but okay, but would you still hit it in that character costume?
No.
No.
Why not? It's still her.
Because what if she stayed in the character and then killed me at the
body
end?
Was no. I mean, just she gotta look like that.
No. That's unfortunate. That's the only chance I got Charlize Theron. I saw people, man, I had sex with Charlize Theron.
In
really?
Monster outfit.
But she wasn't in there.
Now they got
she
some.
And our Eileen Wuornos.
You could green screen a face.
So I record it. I get it looking better later.
Yeah.
Swap her out with the nude scenes from Devil's Advocate.
I'll be, sure.
She's all cut up in that, though.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. She was a movie.
Yeah, movies.
I mean, still.
Yeah, it's all fake. Yeah. It's not real.
I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, I'll take her in character.
Okay. Now we know where the line is drawn.
Right. Number three this week.
Now we know.
Annie.
Eileen wore no sex. Annie came out. Oh, shit.
Had a week of gross of $16.3 million. Same as the total. Budget of $65.
We didn't see it. I'm not even a fan of the original Annie.
It's Annie,
honest.
Man. It's for kids. It's a musical.
It is for kids. A hard knock life.
It's yep. Probably Jamie Foxx probably messed it up.
Can I tell you one of the things that bothers me the most? What's one of the that? Sounds that bothers me the most in the world? The sound of a group of children singing.
You don't like yeah. that?
No, that high pitched.
Right.
It's a hard nightmare. It's grating. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, when do you listen to kids sing anyway?
Exactly. I don't. So then when these commercials pop up or the trailers come up, I'm like, oh, Christmas time, they do the Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Saying, oh my God, shut up, children.
But that's Charlie Brown.
No, but that's cool.
That's Peanuts.
Well, yeah. Actually, I do prefer the instrumental version of that song.
Well, they still hum it at the end. They don't really sing.
The humming's cool. The humming's cool, too. See, the humming's fine. I'm down with humming.
Just not singing.
Just don't sing.
No singing children.
Oh, I hate this. The sound of singing children, ringing phones, crying babies. Top three right there.
All right.
Top three.
Okay.
On the Rotten Tomatoes, out of 99 reviews, 29% of them are positive. So 29% score. The new look Annie hints at a progressive take on a well-worn story, but smothers its likable cast under cliches, cloying cuteness, and a distasteful materialism. Interesting.
Nice.
Interesting. So if you're out there listening to the show, you see Annie or you've seen it, let us know what you thought about Annie.
I wasn't going to see it the first time around.
You weren't
even
going
to see it the second time
around. Well, if you've seen it, let us know. Tweet us at CrossBodiso. True.
Number two this week, Night at the Museum, Secret of the... Night at the Museum, colon, Secret of the Two.
God damn.
So they still got that going.
We can gross at $17.3 million. Sam's total budget of $127.
I haven't even seen the first one or the second one. How about you, Kevin?
Nope.
I did see the first two.
You saw them?
I actually did see them.
So you're going to see this one then?
No.
No?
You're going to have to.
Well,
you have to complete
the trifecta. Finish the story, man.
It'll be on DVD. Like the
I'm not saying go see it.
No, no, I would never go to the theater.
Yeah, no.
Look, they have a lot of people in this movie I hate, but it works better than you think it does.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's for them to have three of them, they're doing something right.
Obviously.
If you like the first one, which was probably the best one, you know, where everybody's just so spot on as the historical characters.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about it.
I do like in the trailers.
Owen Wilson is hilarious. His character's hilarious.
As the cowboy?
Yeah,
cowboy.
He's about this big.
Yeah,
just like raising hell the whole time.
I like how the trailer for this one starts. It's him and Steve Coogan as a Centurion guy. Mm-hmm. And they're like, start the diversions. And then they're just watching YouTube videos of cats.
But it's a very light movie. Like, you're not going to walk out there going, oh, that pissed me off.
No, you're not
really lighting up.
Or no heavy thinking.
Change my world. There we go with the Night at the Museum. Mm-hmm. What's the number one movie, Drew? Got that number one movie over there? What's that number one?
Number one movie of the week. It's The Hobbit. Battle of the
Five Armies. I heard one of the armies didn't even show up.
What?
I heard that. Technically, there's only four armies.
Weekend gross of $56.2 million, total of $90.6 million.
I think it is kind of a spoiler.
Budget of a lot of money.
Oh,
a ton of a slip.
Yeah, maybe they just overstuffed. Yeah, all the orcs. Like, oh, today was a battle. Guys, wake up.
So you're a big fan of The Hobbit?
I'm a big fan of the original Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Okay.
The first three. The Hobbit movies have been disappointing.
I like The Hobbit book, but to take that one book and to stretch it out into four movies is fucking ridiculous.
Hobbit book's a good book.
We read Lord of the Rings in high school.
Yeah.
That's my connection. But The Hobbit, I don't think I remember that separately.
That was
written, prequel.
That was the prequels written before, and that one is a more of a children's book.
Which one has Sméagol?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Well, he's Gollum. He's got a small part in The Hobbit.
Yeah.
But he's much more a bigger character in The Lord of the Rings. See, The Hobbit was just written like, here's just a fun little fantasy book.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of the Rings was, here's my allegory for World War II and Nazism spreading throughout Europe.
Damn.
Yeah. That's the orcs and Sauron and all the evilness in Lord of the Rings. That's Hitler and the Nazis, pretty much. So that's why it's so much more heavier and intense. And then The Hobbit, it's just like, we're going to get to the Mountain of Gold, and we're going to fight the dragon. And, you know. And there's elves on the way, and dwarves, and they're singing songs. But then they made it into three movies, and they just... And they're so, like, plotting. And the first movie, they stop for 15 minutes to sing a song about a mountain.
In Dwarven.
In Dwarven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They go for it.
Yeah, they did, and it was unfortunate. It was not good.
They shouldn't have gone
No, they shouldn't no. have. So that's why we didn't run out to go see this. We saw The Babadook instead. The Babadook will see The Hobbit eventually, probably sometime in January, when all the movies that come out suck. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll skip whatever Kevin Costner action movie comes out in January.
That's when Costner comes out.
That's when those movies come out. Yeah, your 3 Days to Kill movies or Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit with Chris Pine. We'll skip those and we'll see The Hobbit eventually.
All right.
But go see The Babadook instead, people.
Babadook.
New movies come out on DVD. Only one movie coming out this week, and it's a small one. The Trip to Italy. You know that one, Drew? The sequel to The Trip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's a Steve Coogan movie. And it's, what's the name of the other dude?
Some
other British comedian.
And they go around, get wasted, and talk funny.
Yeah, it's them just go. It's ostensibly, I think the story's about Steve Coogan plays himself, and a magazine hires him to take a tour of restaurants and then write a series of articles.
Okay.
And then he brings his friend with him, and then it's just scene after scene of them eating food,
getting wasted, doing Michael Caine impressions.
And doing yeah. And they throw in some story stuff in there, like. The whole time he's dealing with, like, domestic issues on the phone or something or whatever. But, I thought it was okay.
Okay.
So that's pretty much all that's coming out on DVD. Spend time with your families, folks. It's Christmas.
Yeah, slowly.
It's Christmas time.
What's Christmas?
But then after Christmas.
Christmas Day.
Starting Christmas Day.
There's a whole lot of movies.
We've
got...
What we got, Drew?
That new Amy Adams movie, Big Eyes, is coming out.
That Tim Burton movie.
Yep. I saw a background story on that movie on 60 Minutes, and probably wouldn't have been interested unless I saw background with the real lady.
It's an interesting story. The Keen lady, and the husband took the credit for all the work.
Oh, man, she got done wrong.
Christoph Waltz plays the husband.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he is good. And it's a Tim Burton movie.
So it's going to be weird.
I'll see it. I'll see Tim Burton movies. Yeah, so I'll probably end up seeing that.
Okay. Also coming out Christmas Day, the new Benedict Cumberbatch movie, The Imitation Game.
Oh, well, that's the one about the code crackers for the British Army in World War II.
Yep. Okay.
Trying to crack the Nazi code. And they built, like, the first computer, pretty
much. They got the Cumberbatch in there, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's everywhere now. Yeah,
he don't mess around.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Also coming out Christmas Day, probably limited release, but the new Mark Wahlberg flick, The Gambler.
The Gambler, the remake of the James Caan movie, The Gambler.
Looks good. The trailer looked, and I'm not a Wahlberg guy, but he can play those intense type of roles like that.
Yeah, he does. He's good at intense.
We need somebody who cannot smile.
That's him.
Refuses to smile.
That's him. Yeah, he wants to look pissed all the time. He's like, guys, do you hear about all this gambling I'm doing? You hear about the honeybees?
Hey, guys. You're trying to kill us.
Guys, come on.
He seems a little wound a little too tight.
He does.
Like in real life.
Yeah. Exactly. Hear about how he's asked for a pardon?
I thought that was a joke. No. I didn't even.
What
was it going to make a difference? Just something he wants?
He's building a multi-million-dollar mansion in the hills of Hollywood with his beautiful wife and his great looking kids. Yeah. And what does he need a goddamn pardon for? He's
on the top of the world. He does not have.
Wahlburgers coming to Orlando.
Yes, they are.
We're going to add it to the Orlando Burger Odyssey.
Him and his brothers
the Burger Place. It's not going to be here for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Right. I know they have
Burger Odyssey Part 2.
They have a reality show.
Wahlburgers. Yeah.
I don't.
And I watch a second of that show.
Who's on there? Donnie?
It's him. Donnie, all of them. Yeah, there's a couple of them, right? There's a few brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie's on it. Got it.
There's Donnie, and then there's
Mark had
the third
word
one
for Donnie somehow.
The third one, no, Donnie's still doing whatever. This is for the third guy, the third brother. He's the one who runs the Wahlburgers.
Jimmy Wahlberg.
Which one was in? What's the movie?
Sixth Sense.
No, the other one. The games. He was a detective, and you know the mask and the
games
puzzles,
of
the puzzle.
Seven. Saw.
Saw. Which one was in the Saw movie?
Donnie.
That was Donnie. The one from New Kids on the Block.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, the older one who had much less success than his younger brother.
Yes. I don't know the other one. There's another one named Jeffrey, you say?
Bobby Wahlberg.
There's another one. That's all I know.
Eddie Wahlberg.
The one that needs it the most.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, please put my restaurant on TV.
Mark, so he's the one with the burgers, and he's got the other two brothers roped into it.
Yeah.
All right. And they're coming to Orlando.
Yeah. Wahlburg is coming to Orlando.
I'll eat one.
I'll go check out a Wahlburg.
It might be pretty good.
It's just like Shake Shack or BurgerFi. It's the same deal.
Can't roll out a chain of restaurants if it's crap.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Well, you can, but it's not going to last.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. What else is coming out, Drew? Besides Wahlburgers.
The new Angelina Jolie directed flick, that Unbroken movie.
Unbroken, yeah. The true story of the World War II guy.
Oh, man, I saw the trailer on that.
That looks intense.
But I didn't put together that was the Angelina Jolie movie. She produced that.
She directed it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
She it looked it. Pretty damn. I was exhausted watching.
It had its debut at Australia.
Back in Australia.
They keep coming up. But that's where the debut was, in Sydney, Australia, a few weeks ago. And the word out of that screen was very positive. People really, really liked it. So
some like Oscar nods, like
definitely looking like being nominated for director, mm-hmm. definitely for best picture, maybe for best actor for this English guy who's playing the lead role. So we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. I got my money on Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen for what?
12 years.
That was last year.
They put it back in.
Because like McConaughey came in. Exactly. No, but it did win Best Picture, though, right?
But not director.
Not director. No, it
didn't. Ben Affleck won that, didn't he?
No, that was the year before for Argo.
Man, I get the years mixed up.
Who won Best Director last year? Because there was another split. Mm-hmm. And those splits are rare.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It kind of went off the... Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you win this big Best Picture, you don't get Best Director?
It's right. Kind of weird. Yeah, it only happened like 5 or 6 times. Oh, man. Now it's going to bother me now.
Wait, you had the Best Picture, but actually Best Director, you came in last.
Some other, yeah. Like, you were the worst director. You're
a horrible director, but you had the best movie. But you got lucky.
The acting was that much better. Right. The acting brought it up. You had that Matthew McConaughey going on or something like that. What else is coming out, Drew?
Into the Woods.
What's that about?
The musical. The Stephen Sondheim musical.
Yeah, it got turned into a movie. Apparently it's like a mixture of a bunch of fairy tales. They all get kind of mishmashed and
fairy tales.
Yeah, it's put the, together. Right? So
you've got Rapunzel.
Rapunzel.
You've got Rapunzel. You've got
Little Red Riding Hood.
You've got Jack and the Beanstalk.
And the Babadook.
Cinderella.
I do that all the time.
And I've been some crazy witch.
An Australian.
Yeah, the witch. Australian Bill Cosby. I've been stuck on Cosby for a while, even before all the shit went down.
You need to stop.
And then I doubled down after.
Yeah, nothing gets you to double down.
I just like talking about the movie.
And the Jaloams.
The Jaloa tree. Into the Woods. It's a musical. I'm not a big, like, so at Annie. I'm not big into musicals.
Nah.
So. But it looks okay.
The only musical
Johnny Depp as I was a wolf.
Ever admittedly into is Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka's cool.
I don't know why that one's so acceptable. Grease. I'll give Grease, too. I like Grease.
I'm going to give that to you as like a generational thing.
I know. It is.
Yeah, because I hate Grease. But I also hate musicals.
But you watch Saved by the Bell. See, I don't get that shit.
Man, you got me there.
100%. Exactly. Yeah, I don't get that. And Power Rangers, right?
No.
What's the other one? Thundercats.
Thundercats.
Ho.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's just crazy.
And those cartoons were the worst to be watching. Yeah. Oh, they're so bad.
I've watched them again.
I had the He-Man bracelets and like the sword. See? And
I had the He-Man sword.
Yeah, I would reenact stuff.
I was a Little Rascals man.
Oh, Little Rascals!
I was a Stymie fan.
See, Little Rascals, I think still holds up. You can still watch that shit. And they're like, no girls allowed.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you weren't gay.
It was just a boy thing.
Yep. Right. Yeah. It was just a boys' club thing.
Now that's different.
Just trading the world for to be run by white men. Is all that was.
Whoa.
Hey, keeping that misogynism strong.
It's Christmas.
That's
part of the Christmas. That's part of the Christmas.
We all
spirit.
Talk like Australian Bill Cosby.
It's talking like Australian Bill Cosby. And you point out all the horrible things in the world. Babadook.
Merry Christmas.
Is there anything else coming out?
That's all it's coming out.
No, that's it. All right. Oh, Selma might be coming out in a limited release.
It says the 9th.
That's the 9th. IMDb. So it comes out limited. And also coming out in limited is American Sniper. So we'll
that's
get
the 9th as
the
well.
9th, so we'll be getting those in
January. Oh, they shouldn't let them out on the same day.
That is a little,
it is a little weird.
A little weird, but that's what they're doing.
Watch Selma first.
Selma, that looks really good.
Yeah
really it's going to be interesting. A lot of people are going to be taken aback. I heard that the reason why it's not, a lot of people say it's the MLK movie. It's not the Martin Luther King movie. It's about.
Well, it's the Selma
movie. It's the whole Selma thing, but they say they show the inner workings of the civil rights movement and show how King was just kind of. He's portrayed differently now that we look back on it than how it was back then. There was a lot of infighting on the strategy, and the nonviolent thing was not an easy sell.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Maybe that's part. That's
a lot of people had a lot of opinions on how they should go about the struggle.
That must be part of why the movie's been so well reviewed, because it's a much more realistic take on that time period, also, more in-depth look at that kind of stuff.
You also have Oprah.
Oprah helps.
Oprah's in it, and she's got a whole...
Oprah helps. Actually, yeah.
Put an Oprah juice.
Looks pretty damn good in the trailer.
Famous Oprah sprinkles.
Oprah sprinkles. Right.
Oprah sprinkles. We're going to get some of those Oprah sprinkles.
Do you think... I know we haven't gotten to the Sony hack yet, or the interview, but, I mean, there's a big thought that, because of the threat, that Christmas Day viewing is going to be down in general, because people are just kind of skittish now.
Oh, you think so? Really?
Not just thinking about one. Oh, well, if I don't, let's say they were going to play the interview. Go, well, I'm good to go. I didn't go see the interview. I went to the other theater.
Yeah.
Like, if you believe something's going to happen.
You would think it would happen in the theater no matter what.
You understand. They did the hack, which was the real damage. They did the hack before anything was done.
Yeah.
They did it off the fact that they were making a movie.
Yeah.
And there's some questions now as to if this is actually coming from North Korea, because they said that North Korea doesn't have the internet infrastructure. It would have had to go through China.
Well,
they're saying that they've been framed.
I read that the government is saying North Koreans definitely did it. They did go through some Chinese servers, it looks like.
Right.
Chinese government came out and said, hey, if you have information regarding the stuff being routed through our country, please let us know. Because is not cool with us. That's them saying that publicly. Behind the scenes, they could be like, hey, yeah, do it, whatever. The very weird relationship over there between China, Korea, Japan. More contentious than anything between all of those countries.
Now, here's my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
What if we did this?
To ourselves, false flag?
We false flag so we can paint Korea as a bad guy.
But they're already painted as a bad guy.
Well, maybe we want to do something to ratchet it up to get a response from them. Like, we do something to make them, okay, step across this line.
Like a save your ground kind of thing?
Like provoking them into...
Coming to your house?
Yeah,
and that kind of thing. And then you shoot them.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people say we're trying to start war with them. We need to justify it. How do you do that?
Start war with them, though?
Man, I don't know, man. Things getting, you know... Approval numbers low.
You got enough wars going on. We'll be talking about all this stuff when we come back here for a second. I forgot to talk about that. Guys, I got to tell you about a podcast that I called into, the little call-in thing.
What?
Yeah, I'll let you know what show that is.
Nice.
And movie news and stuff, Billy D's at Movies, emails, a lot of things to talk about. Quick break here. Listen to a little bit of Christmas music real quick.
Christmas
music. A little bit of Christmas music. And this music was also in the Royal Tenenbaums, so it still fits. Movie wise. So here we go. We'll be right back with the second half of the show, and I need a new beer.
Thank you. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo, and we want you and Drew to know we really, 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 really dig it. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo, and we want you and Drew to know we really dig it. Oh, you, oh, and you and Drew get aroused by previews, and now both of you, oh, we smell like popcorn. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo, and to the movies we go primarily because you pick them.
There you go.
Thank you. Hey,
that was awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Curtis. That was fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Let's get into this. Why you feel like, oh, if I have a baby, it's fail? Why don't you think you'll have kids? I mean, you're.
I don't want a kid.
What? I mean, but why not?
Well, if you can avoid it, don't do it, dude. It's expensive as shit.
Oh, that's not about the money, though. Oh, you can't put a price on.
Oh, hell yeah, it's about the money.
You
that
can't
shit.
Put a price on.
What?
Strawberries and bananas. Come on, man. You can't put a price on that.
Listen to the SBK Live Show at sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive.sbklive Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome back to Christmas. Second half, episode 102 is here. I'm chilling with Drewster Cogburn.
What up, bro?
And SBK.
Hey,
Soul up? Brother Kevin.
Christmas, I'm full of the spirit.
Good. Spirit does come in the form of gummy bears.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Chewing the spirit.
Chewing the spirit right up, man. So whatever makes you feel good inside during the horrible times, if that is gummy bears.
Gummy koala bears.
Are there specifically gummy koala bears? Mm-hmm. Back to the Australian?
Yeah, yeah.
Almost did Australian Bill Cosby. No more.
Jello flavor.
No more Australian Bill. Putting that guy to bed for a while. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antera419 all over the internet.
That's 419. Mm-hmm. Number is not spelled out. If you got a minute, let Drew know. Because he knows what that means.
Mm-hmm.
What
419?
Oh, you know what that means.
Oh, I know what it means. Oh, man.
This guy. He was like, someone took Antera 420.
A very, very, very long time ago.
I could go 421.
Nah.
419.
There we go.
You could have been 420. I mean, 42 with an O.
Could have been.
But then people would have.
Yeah. Could have been 420 anti-hero.
Yeah, no.
Anti-420 hero.
Or 420.
I didn't put that much thought into it. I did this when
zero.
I was. This whole anti-hero 419 thing started when I was like 17 years old.
Oh, obviously. And now all these years
now
later.
Now I'm 31.
All these years later, professional life surrounded by anti-hero 419. We'll follow him. Snapchat him, ladies. We're waiting.
Snapchat.
He's waiting for the lady Snapchat.
I'm waiting.
He doesn't know how it works.
I don't.
Someone please show him how Snapchat works.
Apparently it's a game, though. There's a score involved.
Oh, there's a game.
There's a score?
There's a score involved. I don't know. I don't understand the scoring system, but...
You don't want to play that game.
It exists.
It's definitely a game. It's for sure a game. Kevin.
It's like the crying game.
That's the worst game.
Hit me up on Instagram, actually, because, see... It's the one social media network that I haven't paid attention to as far as followers, but I post a lot of stuff. I got a lot of stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram.com/SoulBrotherKevin.
SoulBrotherKevin?
Spell it out, the whole thing.
Check it out, guys. We're on the Instagram at Cinema Crespo Diso. We made a run of stickers, fresh stickers.
Oh, I have mine.
You got yours?
Yes, I do.
So now if you check out the show Instagram, it is a lot of pictures of just stickers on random
just
things.
Everywhere?
Just like on polls.
That's awesome.
Stuff. Some people hit us up on Twitter. They tweeted the show
they've
at Crespo Diso.
They've seen our stickers.
Wow.
Yeah, and they take a picture of it.
Sightings?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Sticker sightings. So tweet us your sticker sightings, and we'll share them with everyone else.
Excellent.
Also, I got in my room right now, I got a stack of cards with stickers in them ready to be sent out to people. If you want free stickers, all you gotta do is hit us up.
Oh, awesome.
And we'll send them out. I've been sending out stickers all week for days. They're out there. We got this pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. On the stickers?
On the stickers.
Sticker hustle.
Only 12 cents a sticker.
Oh, man.
Only thing is, you had to get like 1,500 of them.
Oh, wow.
But still.
Okay.
So we got a shit ton of stickers.
Yeah.
Wallpaper, huh?
Yeah, guys.
We could.
We could do a background.
It could be, yeah.
That take forever.
Yeah, well, and then we can stand back and look at it like, well, that was a waste of money.
Hooray!
A waste of money and time. Speaking of plugs, I mentioned this earlier. I teased it. I did a little phoner mm-hmm. for another podcast. Guys, you should check the show out. It's called Talking Rubbish.
Talking okay. Rubbish.
With Eric and Stacey.
Okay.
According to the Twitter, right, it says that they're based out of Wisconsin/Chicago.
Okay.
But then when I called them, it was for sure Wisconsin phone number. I don't know how it works.
Okay.
So then let's just say that they got the Midwest there on lock.
They're in the area.
They're in that area over uh-huh. there. If you go to ericandstaceyradio.com, they have a couple of shows.
How'd you hook up with them?
They hit me up on the Twitter.
Oh, they check out the show.
Apparently, Kevin, mm-hmm. they heard me on your show.
Oh.
So they're SBK Live listeners.
Well, excellent.
And then they said they check out my show subsequently. And then they asked me to call in to talk for a few minutes about the whole Sony thing and all that stuff.
See, that's how it works.
Yeah. And it was fun. Never, you know what's really funny? Never talked to the guy before, right? When I called in separately, and they're going to edit it into the show when mm-hmm. they do it later. So I just talked to Eric. Stacey wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Just Eric. I call in. He answers. He says hello. And I guess he set up with his whatever his system is, his mics mm-hmm. and everything. When he said hello, it sounded like a robot hello. Like it was a little metallic-y.
Hello.
And I paused and I waited because I was like, oh, no, I got the answering machine. Like, hello. Like, you say hello, you've
the
called.
The damn robot.
Yeah, right? But then there was nothing for a second. Then he went, hello? I was like, oh, shit, it's the actual guy. Mm-hmm. When I said, yeah, it's me. We sound good. And then immediately he started talking about, like, right into the show. Like, we got Chris Crespo, blah, blah, blah. And I was like whoa.
You thought you were calling to get set up. Like, Chris will be with you just a second.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, okay, cool. You're here. All right, we'll pod you down for a second. We'll introduce you. I thought, like, a quick pleasantry.
Live action.
Yeah, it was live action.
I like it.
And I appreciate it. I was like, all right, cool. All right, awesome.
We ain't going to mess around.
And it was a good conversation, I think. We had a good time, so... that's episode, I think it's going to be episode 91 of Talking Rubbish with Eric and Stacey.
Awesome.
So I'll be in there for 15 minutes. I'll pop up out of nowhere and be like, what the fuck? This is Crespo guy again. Crespo. I can't stop doing it, dude. I love, and it's the worst, too. It's not even good.
Oh, man.
It's a bad impression of a Bill Cosby impression.
Before the drama went
down. I've been doing it for a while.
Oh, man, you're stuck, man.
I am stuck.
This Bill Cosby thing, he hit you hard.
It's just so fun to do. Personally, that's in me art. I just sit back and I'm like, oh shit, Bill Cosby's a 30-year-old fool. 30-year-old man.
He is.
I mean, whatever. Allegedly. I don't want to get sued. Actually, I kind of do.
No, don't do it.
So guys, check out episode 91 talking that rubbish. All right, let's start with a couple emails here. Drew, you go ahead and read that first one there. This is going to be... I like doing it this way now.
All right.
Get you a little more involved in the second
let's
half.
Let's do it.
Well, I guess our good friend on Twitter, Rage Against Twit, sent us an article.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Go see a lot of movies. They're about to get way cheaper. Do enough movies come out monthly for a theater subscription?
Is that what he wrote?
Yes.
And then what's the link to the article?
Apparently, AMC Theaters is starting the Movie Pass, where you give them. A certain you pay $30 a month and see as many movies as they'd like in that theater.
Man, that's a deal.
If you see five movies, that's your money right there.
They made this just for you guys.
They did, actually. They did.
Yeah.
For sure. But that means I have to see everything at an AMC, right?
Yeah, it's only good for that theater.
Right now, it's only for AMC theaters.
But the bulk of the movies that you see... How many AMC movies do you see at AMC?
Depends on where I'm living. Depends on where I'm living in town.
Okay, but what's an average? What's the average though?
Like in the past year, average. Yeah, looking at my, I just looked at all my movie tickets. Yeah, mm-hmm. But we've been there maybe two or three times out of 40 movies, 50 movies.
Oh, okay, so this wouldn't necessarily be a good deal for you.
I'd be passing at least three other movie theaters to get to an AMC. I'd pass the Aloma Cinema Grill, mm-hmm. the Regal Winter Park, mm-hmm. and the Barco Theater over at the mall, the Fashion Square Mall.
Okay.
Which, we already passed by that one to go to the Regal Winter Park.
I see what you're saying.
So, is the extra driving worth it?
Mm.
You know, I don't know. Mm. But if I was living somewhere, if I was living in Altamont Springs,
mm-hmm.
and then the theater's right there, oh my God, I'd be there twice a week. I'd see movies I didn't even want to see.
Right.
I'd be like, shit, I'm going to go see this fucking Twilight movie because I got the goddamn pass. And I'm bored, and there's a movie theater
right.
there. And
it would have to be a little closer for it to be.
But for that, it would have to be closer. Okay. Yeah, I would think so. But would that get you I know for a while, Kevin, you used to go to the theater a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to the theater much.
Not
lately.
As much as I used to.
You're more of a homebody guy now, a lot like me. Would the movie pass get you out more?
It wouldn't.
Even if you like lived right by a theater?
It wouldn't, no.
No? Is it the crowds? Is it the timing thing?
Uh-huh. If they had it for the Regal in Winter Park, I'd do it.
For the Regal, yeah, that'd be great.
Now, if my pass is going to guarantee me a seat on exclusive movie debuts, then you're talking something different.
I don't know about it. Oh, so, yeah, that's the thing.
So when the big movie comes out that night, I can just walk in. I got like a pass, and they're going to save X amount of seats. I can confirm a seat for every movie.
I don't know if they're going to save seats, but I guess if you roll up there with your pass and be like, I'm here to see this movie, then they just tick it off. Like, well, it's like another ticket.
Yeah, they should let me.
So as long as there is room, they'll let you in.
But I'm saying that would be.
I don't think they'll reserve.
That would be a benefit.
That would be something that gets you in.
Yeah.
Guaranteed seating at a Friday night.
I just go to all the opening nights, you know?
Yeah. That's where the excitement is. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. All right, and here's one more email. Drew, why don't you read this one, too?
All right.
That's a blank piece of
this
paper.
This one comes from...
Read at the bottom.
PJ in Denver.
PJ.
Chris, please take Drew's box cutter and smash it into a million tiny pieces. For multiple episodes, he has clicked and clicked and clicked and clicked that fucking thing. In the last episode, he clicked that motherfucker for 2 straight hours. A podcast is an audio experience, so why is Drew making noise over it? You wouldn't put a podcast with constant static, so I click, 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 acceptable. Drew, have some fucking respect for the listeners and your colleagues and put away the fucking box cutter. Damn. I've been a fancy as you started on SBK Live. Hail Crespo, down with Drew.
Whoa.
That's probably why he wanted me to read the emails.
Damn.
Set me up.
Where's your box cutter?
It's gone.
I put it away. It's already
there. He put it away.
I didn't even want to attempt it to do it again. Because I didn't want to have to bring it up before I read the email. What do you got to say to that, Drew?
I'm sorry. I apologize. I guess it won't happen again.
It's BJ.
He's
Denver.
Not doing that.
It's because there's no box cutter in front of me.
Because I had to put it away. You said click, 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 click.
Oh, down,
it gives
up,
me something
down,
to do
up,
with
down,
my hands,
down,
like
up,
what you're doing
up.
With yeah, with
see,
your little plastic thing.
I am ripping this gummy bear bag to shreds.
You are ripping it to shreds. The solution for Drew.
Gives me something to do with my
the
hands.
The solution for Drew is A, I'm going to give him the emails to read. That gives you something to do with your hands for part of the show. That is part of why I want to start having you do the emails. Another solution, we need to get this guy a computer. This computer is dead. It's totally dead.
It died?
It's gone.
Damn.
It's
over.
It
no longer holds power.
It was a Mac laptop built in the 1640s.
Did you hit it with a box cutter?
Yes. Quite a few times, actually.
Oh, here we go. Drew Stagog, very first to work. Drew Stagog, very first to work. This is more fascinating than you even know because I did a little research.
Okay, do that research.
Like I said, you were on 2 episodes so far in 2014.
Uh-huh.
You did episode...
Break it down.
67.
67.
And 87.
I do all the ones that rhyme with my name. So
far,
Brother Kevin, I do the 7.
This is a 102 there.
102. Me versus Drew.
I knew you could do it.
But, actually, when you edit this, like take that pause.
That
out,
little pause.
So make it seem like I just like
you jump right on top of it. Boom.
That's what I do on the podcast.
It's pretty smart
all the time.
I appreciate that. This is very interesting. In episode 67, you guys went up against each other, and Drew won. Mm-hmm. Kevin, you went 0-5.
Whoa! I blanked it.
You blanked
wow.
it.
Damn.
That was awful.
That's a bad show.
That was a bad showing. Episode 87. Kevin won.
Mm-hmm.
You went 5-5.
Right. I had to.
It's either all or nothing with Kevin.
All or nothing.
Also, this was an accident, but we played 2 versions of the exact same game. Who said it? Where I give you a quote and then 3 people, and you got to tell me who said the quote.
Okay.
So, since this is the rubber match, I did another who said it.
Oh.
Nick, Rick, or Mick?
I remember.
Who said it? Nicolas Cage, Richard Pryor, or Mick Jagger. Those are your 3 options.
All right.
Drew lost last week. He is sitting at 12-7 for the year.
Ooh.
Actually, I think this is the last Drew Stagog versus the world for the year. Very fitting, I think. This works out great. Sitting at 12-7. Kevin.
I'm ready.
You're the world. You get to choose first. Do you want group A or group B?
I want group A.
All right, here we go. Who said it? Nicolas Cage, Richard Pryor, or Mick Jagger? Number 1.
All right.
I was a loner. And never hung out with anyone. I never had any friends.
That was Nicolas Cage.
That was Richard Pryor.
What?
Yeah.
I thought he was a life of a party.
Nah,
loner.
He was a loner. Number 2. Anarchy is the only slight glimmer of hope.
Okay, Richard Pryor didn't say that. Who's the other guy?
You got Nicolas Cage, Richard Pryor, or Mick Jagger.
And what's the anarchy is the only glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
That's Nicolas Cage.
That's Mick Jagger.
Damn, Mick Jagger?
Yeah.
I didn't think he said much of anything.
Number three. People think they know you. They know the things about you that you have forgotten.
Richard Pryor.
Mick Jagger.
Damn. Mm.
Number four.
Okay, I see. I haven't got one right yet.
No.
I think I jump around more when I'm alone.
All right, that's Mick Jagger.
That's Nicolas Cage.
That's a trick. He's the only one known for jumping around.
Number five. No, he jumps around.
Mick Jagger?
Nicolas Cage?
He jumps around?
Yeah, with the mega acting.
Yeah, that's true.
And number five. How do you rebel in a family of rebels?
Nicolas Cage.
That's correct.
Yeah, I got one.
You got one out of five.
All right, Drew, you can do that.
All right, Drew.
I just need to get two.
Here Come we on, go. Man.
Grab your box cutter.
Number one. Everyone carries around his own monsters.
Nicolas Cage.
That's Richard Pryor.
Ah, see, I would have said that.
I haven't had the time to plan returning to the scene because I haven't left it. Very arrogant quote there.
Mick Jagger.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Number three, I believe in the institution of marriage, and I intend to keep trying till I get it right.
Richard Pryor.
That's correct. Number four, I know that if I wasn't scared, something's wrong because the thrill is what's scary.
Nicolas Cage.
That's Richard Pryor. And number five, I don't want to sit around by the pool luxuriating with a margarita. That's just not what I want to do.
Mick Jagger.
That's Nicolas Cage. You got two out of five.
That's all I needed.
Good enough for you to win. Congratulations, Drew.
Man, I couldn't squeak one more out.
Nope.
Just one more would have got you a tie. 13-7 for 2014, Drew. Gives you a winning record for the year. Congratulations, sir.
Mick Jagger said so much.
He did say a lot of shit.
I don't think of him as talking. I think of him as singing.
I was just trying to think of something that rhymed with Nick and Rick. And then I got killed with Mick. He was in Freestyle. No, Free Jack with
could have done Mickey Rourke.
Emilio Estevez. Mickey Rourke. Ooh, Mickey Rooney.
Mm-hmm. Mick, Mick, or Mick.
Hey, guys, how much did Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance make in the worldwide box office?
How much did it make?
Yeah, worldwide box
140
office.
$140 million.
$140 million, says Drew.
$120 million.
You guys almost split the difference. $132 million. Technically, Drew's a little closer there.
Yeah.
You guys were right around it, though. Yeah, that's how much. Not a bad haul for that movie, little movie. All right, guys. So, let me see. What do I want to do next? So, you know what's next? It's time for that Billy D's Death at the Movies. Have you heard this one yet? This one? A lot of new things, Kevin. A lot of new things.
I like it.
Billy D is our New York City show correspondent, horror film expert, amongst other things. Guy knows a lot about movies. He's a great guy, good friend of the show. Worked on the Colbert Report for a little while there.
Yeah, that kind of guy.
He's an intern. But still, he worked on the Colbert Report for a while.
He
was the guy. Wait, there's
he got a
picture,
lot of coffee.
There's a picture of him standing like just feet away from Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Feet away.
Feet away.
He's only like six people in between him
there's
and Stephen
six
Colbert.
Six people between him and Colbert.
Like he could slap him if he wanted.
He could have run over.
He could have run over and slapped him.
Yeah, and then right, that would have yeah. It might have been the last time. That would have been the final farewell picture. Anyway. Billy D is a good friend of ours. Follow him on Twitter at I Love Blood. He's also a guy who he designs our like our new stickers, the double face thing. Him and Drewster came up with that together. Right. The show logo. Me and Billy came up with that. He's the one who draws it, and then Drew's the one that makes it look all cartoony and cool.
Excellent.
I got the crack team right here, the graphic designers and artists.
Man, gotta keep that crack.
Gotta keep the crack close.
He's smoking that crack.
No, never.
Whoa,
we
Drew.
Sell it.
Why are you taking it so far, Drew?
It's Christmas.
It is Christmas.
We sell crack, not smoke it.
Actually, yeah, that's a part
of Christmas. If you want to smoke crack for Christmas, you can smoke crack for Christmas.
Part of Christmas is doing the illicit materials that make you forget about reality, for even if it's just for like 30 seconds. Even if it's just 5 minutes worth of crack away from reality.
5 minutes worth of crack.
5 minutes worth of crack. What's that, $5 worth of crack? No, 5 minutes worth of crack is a lot of money,
that's
actually.
What you do for
that's
Christmas.
Expensive. 5 minutes worth of crack. Billy D writes, he's been writing in every week for the Death of the Movie segment, and he writes, "Happy holidays, my dudes. This week made many attempts to sync Billy D's Death of the Movies. but much coffee and a zero wrapping of presents prevailed. Billy Dee's Death of the Movies. Much like Santa, naughty or nice, turd or not a turd, it delivers. My secret weapon came through this week with another Kiwi pick. We attempted to wrap gifts and rented Housebound on Amazon. In the opening scene, the main character robs an ATM with a stick of dynamite and gets sentenced to house arrest. No more gift wrapping was done that night. This movie is the real deal. It's a legitimate horror comedy with just as many scares as there are laughs and more than a few emotional beats that hit. It's like Judd Apatow and Peter Jackson made a haunted house movie. So if someone slips you an Amazon gift card this year and you have $4 left over, give yourself a gift and check this out. Hail Santa, stay warm, Billy Dee.
Hail Santa.
Hail Santa.
Hail Santa.
So here you go. Housebound. A York Kiwi, so that's New Zealand.
Yep.
How do you say it? New Zealander? New Zealandish?
New Zealander. Zoolander.
New Zoolander. Just called Kiwi.
Your Kiwi.
A Kiwi film.
Yep.
A Kiwi.
It's a Kiwi flick.
It's a Kiwi flick.
Kiwi.
You ever meet any Kiwis?
Not that call themselves Kiwis.
You never met any out of the closet Kiwis?
No.
I met this one dude who was like straight up Kiwi.
From New Zealand.
From New Zealand.
Okay. Total closet Kiwi.
Out of the closet Kiwis. Like letting people know, what's up? My name's Ben. Just so you know, I'm from New Zealand. I was like, oh, cool. Thanks for letting me know.
You gotta give them a heads up.
Because otherwise, it's just like you and me, Kevin. Otherwise, it's like, how do you know?
Right.
It's they have to have like a mark on them.
Same thing
something.
With Canadians.
Yeah, how do you know? Yeah. They're just among us.
You're hanging out with them, and next thing you know, you've been sitting at the bar drinking a beer by a Canadian right. All night.
It's like, no wonder he keeps ordering Molson.
Reveal yourself.
Yes. They should have like a maple, before swear, maple leaf pin.
Or scarlet letter.
That went well before for other societies, right? Doing things like that. It's not a problem.
I think so.
Separating people by their... Oh. Anyway. No, I met the one dude when I was out in L.A. visiting a friend, and a friend of his was from New Zealand. He was there trying to get in the film industry. Super nice guy. As a matter of fact, might as well put us out there now because it's years later.
Put it out there.
I don't think it's going to matter.
Y'all had sex in the bushes.
We had sex in the bushes. I noticed...
Just you and this Kiwi dude?
I noticed this thing with sheep because they're all about the sheep out there. No, he was house-sitting at the time. For Alfre Woodard.
Oh, I heard the story.
Yeah. I was going to say something about Alfre Woodard. Wait,
you're going to say something about Alfre Woodard? Alfre Woodard was out of the country for like a few weeks at a time, maybe a couple months, shooting something. And her husband, I think her kid was with her. Her whole family was with her.
Right.
So he was house sitting. So he was like, let's just come on over every night. So like two out of the five nights I was in L.A., I was at Alfre Woodard's house.
That's crazy.
Just, yeah, it was crazy. Like, walk around, look at all her
you
shit.
You can't really even tell anybody or take pictures like.
I totally took a picture with her Emmy? No, her Oscar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was just in like in the side guest room. Like, it wasn't even anywhere prominent.
It was like a paperweight.
Yeah, it was just, I picked it up. I took a picture with my crappy phone at the time.
Lighter than you thought?
No, it was just about the right size. It looked like it weighed like the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You went straight for the damn
I didn't go
Oscar.
Straight for it, but I found it. I was like, oh, shit. Here's my phone. Take a picture, you know?
Crazy.
And it was like the old shitty flip phone picture, too. I don't even think
so
I got it anymore.
So it just goes to show you, you know, they don't just hand those things out in Hollywood.
No, they don't.
So
they,
no matter how famous
well,
you
they, they kind of do. Actually, that's well, how they do it out there.
But, you know, you the top of your game. You
yeah.
Win one.
You gotta, yeah. I don't even know what
but,
it was
but
for.
As soon as you leave the country, remember. Yeah, some guy's going to be raffling through your underwear drawers and taking pictures with
you. Yeah. Dude, there were people hooking up upstairs. Right. We were drinking all her wine.
We're banging an Alfre Woodard's out.
It was fun. I've been a fan of her since then.
Yeah, I like her too.
Yeah, for sure. She's good. So do you really have something you want to say about Alfre
Woodard? No, not really. I was thinking
she's always
about
on top of mind.
I
though.
Like her. I think, yeah.
She is good. Mm-hmm. She's always good. Housebound. Amazon.
All right.
Please, these set the movies. Checking my notes. That's why I have notes, because I have now. There's so much shit going on here. People hit us up on the Facebook. Let us know what they if they have topics or questions or mini movie reviews. All
right,
this is a friend of the show, friend of all of us actually. The Black Hasselhoff.
The Black Hasselhoff
from Forget That Yo Radio.
What?
Check those guys out.
The guy wears two watches,
so you know what time it is.
Yeah,
it's food and naughty. He writes, Home Alone. If the robbers would have caught the little dude, they would have A, killed him. B, held him for ransom. C, raped him. Go around the room. I need answers.
They would have tried to hold him for ransom, but it would have been botched. They would have fucked it all up.
Because they're bumbling idiots.
Yeah, because they're bumbling idiots.
They are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
What do you think, Drew?
Agreed.
they didn't give a rape vibe to me.
No.
No.
I didn't
that would no, they, not
they,
at all.
They never came across as rapey at all.
No, it's just...
Black Hasselhoff, you're going a little way, overboard on that one.
That's
there,
the way Hasselhoff thinks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. What show do you think you're writing?
He wanted to see some raping.
He wanted to see Joe Pesci bend Macaulay Culkin over a barrel and show him 50 states is what he wanted
whoa.
To see. Hey, that's what he... That's what.
That's not. That's, what
that's, that's all I'm saying. Whoa.
That's not the spirit of Christmas.
Man. Actually, kind of the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, damn. You know, wouldn't you?
Unfortunately, you know, things get bad around Christmas time. Also, friend of the show, Rita. Charita?
Rita. Yeah, I know Rita.
You know Rita. She wrote, Selma is best director Oscar soon to come. Merry Christmas. Oh, she writes Merry Christmas.
I like that.
Merry
she Christmas. Hasn't even seen the movie yet, but she's
well,
already.
Well, the buzz is strong for that one. You know, it's and plus, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah, you know what, man? I'm not going to see this movie. I get it.
Oh, really? Okay. That's fine. It's a good... I think it looks good. It's a really good-looking trailer. Mm-hmm. Plus, David Oleo. I really like that guy.
It's going to be real good until they start beating people down.
I mean, the trailer, when you watch it, there's definitely parallels there to what's going on now.
Yeah, kind of timely release.
Yeah, it's almost fortunate for them that all this shit's going down in the media because it's like it makes it seem more relevant.
One, it seems extra sad too.
Oh yeah,
that you could probably run the clips side by side, and some people can say, "Well, damn, now it's in color."
Yeah, well, yeah,
you
well,
know what
the
I mean.
Movie's in the color, but yeah,
I know, but
yeah,
when
exactly,
I think
exactly,
I think in black and white.
And the old pictures are right, in black and white. Mm-hmm. You know this one. I have to go to the actual Facebook. Page here. This is not set up properly. I'll skip that one for a second. Twitter at Mike7Deuce. He wants to know. This is actually Kevin, more for you.
Okay.
Any events in the works for next spring/summer? I need a good shindig to go to while on vacation.
We're coming to Colorado.
There you go.
There you go.
Guess your vacation. See
you. That works good to me.
Hey, man, we should take a road trip, all of us.
We talked a little bit about that on your show, episode 123 of SBK Live.
Oh, that went nowhere. I got no support.
From the people?
No, from Matt and Angel.
Well, because, I mean,
they didn't want to go anywhere.
How are they going to commit? That's why I said
we
got to start small.
You and I talked about this.
Yeah.
And, we were talking about starting small, but I think Matt is down to travel, so it may be Matt and I going.
Matt is down to travel for sure.
And Nick Sciarrabba may go, too.
Well, Nick Sciarrabba's got
to
go.
Well, he has to. Somebody has to hold the camera.
Yeah. Someone's got to do the work.
Yeah.
And drive the RV. Got to get an RV sponsorship.
We're going to Uber everywhere.
Uber everywhere.
We're going to Uber from here to Colorado.
You have fun with that.
That's expensive. And, that's going to be tough.
Well, you know, we get a guy and take us as far as you can go.
to the edge of town.
Take us to our next Uber guy.
And I need some guy who's leaving town.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting.
We got it all planned.
Mike, we'll come to you. We'll figure it out. We'll
come to Shindigs, beginning of the year probably. We'll start coming up with
We'll figure something out.
Or just come hang.
Yeah, dude. Just let us know when you're in town.
Yeah.
Come out to the studio and hang out.
Yeah.
Bring some of that Colorado with you. I'm not saying get yourself a wrestler or nothing, you know.
Peyton Manning? What do you mean? We have Papa John's here.
Yeah, bring that Peyton Manning with you. Paul Hine on our Cinema Crespity So Facebook page. You can like that page and write us on there. He writes, Gone Girl will have most men second-thinking marriage. Crazy bitches will ruin your life or be your wife. Either way, you lose. You just said, Kevin, that you just saw the Gone Girl.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
I'm not gonna really. I don't want to give it away. It's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, man.
I felt bad for old Ben Affleck, man.
Yeah. Well, the character had it.
It happens
bad.
Every time.
Gets pretty brutal out there.
He'd be all right.
You remember? Did you see it? Make it to that scene where? Because I know you watch movies sometimes. You make it to that scene where
I
saw
the whole thing.
You saw the whole thing.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So what happened with Doogie Howser?
Oh man, it did do get
yeah
I saw that.
Yeah, you know what scene that was intense.
Before all of that came, I didn't see that happening. I didn't see
it was a total surprise
when she was prepping.
Yes,
and I was like, what is that all about?
Oh, it's horrible. Oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, well, she did that before.
And then because she did it before exactly. Yeah. She didn't see the other guy, and then the camera is just like on her, and she's just doing it, and it's like the camera's not moving.
Nope,
it's like
you know
it's
what's
like,
going on.
Watch this. You will watch this horribleness. This crazy person. Oh man.
Well.
Fun times, right?
Yeah, it didn't make me sick. I heard that a lot before I saw the movie. It's going to make you second guess marriage.
If you have a reason to second guess it, it'll exacerbate that. But if you're solid like a rock, like Ashford and Simpson,
you got to know what you're doing, yeah, buddy.
At Mr. Natathon writes on Twitter, favorite Christmas movies. Go. Favorite Christmas movie. Drew.
Die Hard.
Die Hard. Kevin.
Wait. Come back to me because I was just telling somebody.
Your favorite Christmas movie? Die Hard is my favorite Christmas movie, but it also happens to be one of my favorite movies. Like top five favorite movies. So. Lethal Weapon 2 is also a great Christmas
Gremlins.
Movie. Gremlins is also a fantastic Christmas movie.
Friday After Next.
That is a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's not my favorite. I just wanted to say something other than...
Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, that is.
A bunch of Christmas in that. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Christmas trees all over the
place. These would be like your non-typical... Like you don't think of them straightforward as a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's not like...
The Christmas is totally...
It's just part... It's a backdrop.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, they all can't be like Jingle All the Way. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's like explicitly about Christmas. It can just be in that
Now, can
setting.
It be your favorite Christmas movie if there ends up being a Christmas scene in the
movie? Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
But then you could throw in Trading Places.
Yes. Trading Places, absolutely. Yes, right. I will, yes, that's a holiday film for sure.
Because they had one of the best Santas.
Yeah, yeah. So, dirty old Santa with the fish. That was
horrible.
That's still
the best.
That was horrible.
Any bad Santa has to be like based on that and then Bad Santa.
And, Bad Santa. That's right. Actually a good one. Right. Yeah. There's tons of good Christmas movies out there. For all types of people, whether you like them innocent or, you know, Miracle on 54th Street or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like too
Street.
Much straight up Christmas. Now, I do like all of the claymation. You know,
the Rankin and Bass, Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, I love all of that. It's the Baby New Year, all Misfit Toys, all that shit.
It's also because it's also kind of creepy looking too.
Very creepy. Yeah. It's a throw the kind of
The hit
but the Abominable Snowman is my man.
Hell yeah, Abominable Snowman. That guy's a freak. Man.
He is a freak.
At Matt's Cabin. Shout outs to Matt, SBK Live.
Kevin Boyd.
What's he doing? He's sore right now.
He is sore right now. He's trying to sell us on a movie we got to watch called Kill List. He writes it's on Netflix and it is bonkers crazy. Wow. The last 20 minutes are absolutely insane.
Spoiler alert.
Starts slow, stick with it.
All right. Kill List.
Kind of like Matt.
Yeah. He starts slow, but stick with him and he will impress you at the end, that Matt. He doesn't listen to the
What's
show.
What's the name of that movie?
Kill List.
Kill List?
Kill List. Yeah, if you want to say anything about Matt, now's the time because he does not listen.
I want to see Kill List. Okay, I'll put that on my list. And I want to see this other movie you guys keep telling me about.
No, the Black Mirror.
I'm on episode 4.
Yeah!
So I got to go back and read. Okay, that's the real reason why I miss Matt's.
Oh, really? It sucked you in?
Here's what I said. I was like.
Like I said, he doesn't
listen. I got home and I told my girl, I was like, look, this is when I know I need to watch something. I know something's good. When it hits you from all sides.
Yeah.
Like people you respect, people you don't respect, just casual, overheard somebody in the store talking about it, and then people will pull it. I was like, gotta go do it. So I like put it on my list, went home. I had an hour to kill, so this is an hour show. So now I'm going to watch one of these before we leave.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first one.
Yes, the
very first with the prime minister. Yeah. And I rewound that thing like three times. What was that? Wait a minute.
What's going on?
This was perfect for me because no one spoiled anything. All I got from it was that you got to see it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention. So I'm like paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like... I want to watch the next one.
Yes, get your hooks
right
in
now.
You. Yeah.
And then it gets better and it gets better.
Yeah.
And then you just start going, whoa. So the one that I watched last night, I fell asleep on it. I didn't see the very end of it.
Okay.
The one where you get the chip thing in your neck and you can recall
and
everything.
You can recall everything.
Yes. And then he found out his wife was cheating on him. She lied about it. I didn't see how that ended.
Oh, man.
But I remember when... I saw up to the part where he found out that they were together like six. Oh no! He said that he was trying to get her to play back what she had, and she was like, "Oh, I erased it." And then she
tries to erase it. Yeah.
She's like, "Oh." And it's like,
and then
no,
he zooms into the picture. He sees her their bedroom in the background. Yeah. Oh,
that's practically the end. What else happens after that?
I missed the very end.
Oh yeah,
I was nodding.
Yeah, you got that.
How many of them are there?
Six.
Well, I've seen three of them, so I got three more.
Yeah, which is the second season.
Second season.
And apparently, they just did, or they're about to air in the UK, their Christmas special. It's called Black Mirror : White Christmas. And it's an hour and a half, and it's three stories. So it's going to be three half-hour stories all put together. I think it's just coming out in the UK now.
Oh, well, I know how to get
that. Yeah, so you do know how to get that. And it's so popular, it's going to be available pretty soon.
Oh, wow.
One of them has John Hamm from Mad Men.
Has it come out yet?
I think it's like this weekend or
if
this
it comes
week.
Out, I'll
because it's a Christmas special. So maybe they put it out on Boxer's Day. What do they got over there, right?
Boxer's Day.
Is that their day?
Boxing Day.
Makes me want to go to the UK.
Yeah. In the future?
I see a lot of actors and actresses on here that I've seen from other stuff.
Mm, yeah.
And then some people that are on there that I didn't know that were British.
Yeah.
I'm like, because my girl's like picking it. She's like, oh, that guy's from Downton Abbey. That guy's from this.
And this guy's from Game of Thrones.
And then I'm sitting there and I'm watching. I said, that guy, that lady's from something I know. And I don't know shit. And I'm like, I know her.
Yeah. The third one, the redo one.
Who's from Game of Thrones?
I'm just assuming. Oh. One of them's got to be. I'm sure one of them's back around. But the what?
No, go ahead.
Well, the guy with the main dude who's like find out his cheating wife, that guy, that dude played Koba in the Planet of the Apes, the last one that just came out. He did the stop motion stuff or the suit stuff.
Oh,
for one
who
of the
was he was one of the main apes.
He was one of the main ones. He was the one that like started the revolution against the humans. No, he was Caesar's right hand man.
Oh, Caesar.
That then like they went against each other. Oh. Who's that guy?
Oh man, spoiler!
Yeah. That happens like halfway through the movie. Are you ever gonna see the? Even see the last one, the one with James Franco?
What? With
the Planet of the Apes, the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and the Dawn.
With James Franco?
Yeah, the one that was out like 3 years ago.
Hell no!
No,
I don't. I can't see those movies, man. They're all.
No, you know, man.
I can't do it.
Okay. So, like I said, we've been teasing it for a while. Time to talk about it. The interview got yanked. Ain't playing. Mm-hmm. Quick recap. Guardians of Peace hack into Sony. Mm-hmm. Steal all their shit.
Right.
Also, they shut down their computers and their servers. So, like, right. For a week, they were doing things old-fashioned way. They had to put files on USB drives and run around the studio. They had to, like, write things down and actually have actual memos instead of emails and shit. Mm-hmm. None of that worked. All the stuff started popping up online. So we found out, you know, Scott Rudin thinks Angelina Jolie is a spoiled brat. Mm-hmm. The guys who produced The Equalizer, they think...
They're hating on Denzel.
They're hating on Denzel. Well, they weren't hating on Denzel. Actually, if you read what they were saying, they were hating on international markets being racist.
Right, I know.
Yeah, they're saying there's
but
just...
But then that makes them have less faith in putting Denzel out there.
Yes, they're like, if we put... Maybe it was a mistake to put Denzel in our movie. Even though Equalizer was the third biggest opening of Denzel's career.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. You know, so it was behind American Gangster and something else.
Though. I didn't really even hear about that. Denzel movies come out, and I'm just like, they're already out and they're hitting. I don't even know.
Equalizer is a fun one. That's his. That's one of my favorite bad movies of a long time because it's a bad movie, but it's fun the whole time. I really, really
good
enjoyed
Denzel
it.
Bad movie.
Yes,
that's what I hear about all of them.
But right. No, but this one more so than most for sure. Okay. You know. So all this shit happened, right? And then they put out this crazy. Horribly written in bad English statement to Sony saying if you play the interview in movie theaters we'll cause like 9/11 to happen all over
that's
again.
Where they messed up that, with all of that.
That got intense. That's when they started threatening lives, right? Mm-hmm. Which, alright, when that happened, the US government, they're like, we're looking into this. The NSA's like, we're looking into this. But they put out a statement saying,
we're looking into this.
There's no credible threat. Like, I know that they threatened this to happen, but we don't show any way of this ever happening, people. Right. Like, and when I was the government ever come out and said, don't be afraid of this, you know, they work the opposite way. They're all fear, be afraid.
Right.
We're here to protect you. We're the government. Be afraid. This is the complete opposite. They're like, no, go about your lives. Don't worry about fucking North Korea.
Right.
They're not going to do this shit. But
the theaters,
Regal. AMC, Cinemark, and two more. The five main theater owners, they were like, we are not showing this movie.
Nope.
Before Sony decided to pull the interview totally, independent theaters were popping up. Like the Cine Family in Los Angeles, the Alamo Drafthouse in Texas. And they were like, you know what? We didn't have the interview scheduled in our theater.
But we're going
to
play it.
We will cancel whatever we had. And we're on the phone now with Sony. To try to get the interview. We will show an interview in our theaters. These other theaters won't fucking do it, right? So for a very short amount of time, there was this groundswell happening where people were like, fuck Regal, fuck AMC, let's only support independent theaters because they're, you know, afraid to show an interview.
Yeah.
And then Sony comes out and is like, you know what? We're just not gonna.
Nah.
This thing is not coming out ever, ever, ever. That's their first thing they said. We have no plans to put it on VOD, no DVD,
nothing.
No Blu-ray, nothing.
It's done.
It is done. Franco and Rogan, they go underground with this protection program. They're like in Acapulco right now, chilling with Tupac and Al Capone.
Yep.
What's so funny for two guys that are so funny guys, this shit ain't funny no more.
Nope.
And they were like, they were yucking it up to the last minute.
To the very last, the very last interview. Yeah, I think the last thing Rogan did was the Colbert Report.
Man, they showed Rogan getting off the plane on TMZ the other day, right?
Yeah.
And they were like, here's Seth Rogan. He was looking all sad and everything. And then the funniest thing I ever heard on TMZ, he has a dog. He has a little bitty dog on a little carrier. And then they go, better not let those North Koreans find out you have a dog. I was like, oh, that's funny.
That's poor dog. North Koreans are going to cook him and eat him.
Yeah, well, hey.
All right, well, here's what happened. So they pulled the interview, and then the hackers released a statement to Sony. And they said, it's very wise that you have made the decision to cancel the release of the interview. It will be very useful for you. We will ensure the security of your data unless you make additional trouble. Additional trouble. This is why you don't negotiate with people like this. You don't give in to their initial demands. Because then they come back with more demands.
This is going to sound bad. But they were threatening a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Do we still get our Christmas gift? I want my gift.
No.
I want the gift.
No.
That's the information's still out there, though.
That's what they're saying. But they have more stuff.
Yeah.
And they're saying, we're not going to release that stuff now. But unless, Kevin.
Unless you release the movie on DVD or VOD.
Unfortunately for Sony, the statement continues. Now, we want you never let the movie released, distributed, or leaked in any form of, for instance, DVD or piracy. And we want everything related to the movie, including its trailers, as well as its full version, down from any website hosting them immediately.
They want it to be wiped from existence.
They want this movie to not exist at all. So Sony gave in, said, all right, we won't play the interview. And then these guys are like, cool, we won't release your shit unless now you do all this extra stuff too.
So they're still going to release this stuff.
It looks like they may. Because Sony, well, first off, it's crazy how this has been unfolding over a couple of days, right? Obama got into it.
Oh, no. What did he say?
Obama
he
had
said
his own
hollered
thing.
At him.
Yes, he did. what did he say? He said to your...
Obama was on TV.
Here we go.
Saying we don't bow down, and his son was on the other channel bowing down.
Yeah. Yep. That's not good. Obama said, Sony is a corporation. It suffered significant damage. There were threats against its employees. I am sympathetic to the concerns that they face. That being said, yes, I think they made a mistake. That's what Obama said. He said Sony made a mistake. Here we go. We cannot have a society where some dictator someplace can start imposing censorship here in the United States. Because if somebody is going to intimidate Sony for releasing a satirical movie, imagine what's going to happen when there's a documentary they don't like. Even worse, if producers and distributors start engaging in self-censorship because they don't want to offend the sensibilities of someone who frankly probably needs their sensibilities offended. That's not who we are. That's not who Americans are.
What happens when ISIS gets the next person and they go, we're going to behead this guy unless you guys... we don't like Anderson Cooper. We want y'all to shut that CNN shit down.
Exactly.
And then they're going to be like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, exactly. And ISIS, they've killed motherfuckers already. They've actually shown that they can do it.
This is
the GOP, they haven't actually done anything.
Right, these are a bunch of...
outside the hack.
These are a bunch of hacking guys who, they don't have the capabilities of rigging every movie theater in the country. Like, that was ridiculous.
They can't put boots on the ground. They can't...
They started talking a language, though, that they knew we understood. When you say 9/11 centered around something, when they just accomplished something, people are like, what, 9/11?
Yeah.
Hold on, what are they doing? What's going on?
And then, of course, you got people throwing in the whole Aurora, Colorado shooting, which is a totally different thing. That's a guy with mental health issues. No warning for that. He just showed up in a theater on a busy night and gunned down, 12 people.
But he had body armor on.
He had body armor on.
Surrendered.
The cops rolled up, and they didn't shoot nothing at him.
No.
They took him in all calmly.
Good way to talk to him.
In the news, it was like, how did this honor student go wrong? Yeah, that was ridiculous. Sony then released a statement after Obama came out. So,
and what they say?
This is very interesting. Sony is and always has been strongly committed to the First Amendment. For more than 3 weeks, despite brutal intrusions into our company and our employees' personal lives, we maintained our focus on one goal, getting the film released. Free expression should never be suppressed by threats and extortion. The decision not to move forward with the December 25th theatrical release was made as a result of the majority of the nation's theater owners choosing not to screen the film. This was their decision, so they're trying to pass the buck.
Have critics already been... They did a screening for this.
They've done a handful of screenings.
Okay, so it is impossible for people... It is impossible for there not to be a pirated version of this movie.
It's possible.
No, as it is impossible.
No, it's not impossible. It's possible.
There's going to be...
Of the handful of screens.
Right, right.
So, it might be somewhat improbable.
I'm pretty sure.
But it could have already happened. It could have happened by now. It's also part of the hack, but it wasn't leaked. There are 5 movies from Sony were leaked. Like, Fury was leaked. Annie was leaked online. Pristine versions of them.
Right. I hear video games were leaked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, their
entire... All the PlayStation.
Yes. I heard all the PlayStation games for, like, 2015 were already in whatever stage of development leaked.
That's crazy.
Scripts leaked. The James Bond script leaked.
That is insane.
I think this next round of information is going to be perfect personal information, dirt that the studio has on celebrities that has kept them in place. You're going to find out who's been cheating, who's got secret drug habits and babies.
They're really, really bad stuff.
That is the only thing that could bring down. Think of every A-list celebrity that's signed under the Sony roster. If you found out all of their, not Social Security, I don't care about a Social Security number.
Or how much money they made on a movie.
What your alias is at a hotel or what you made on a movie. Yeah. But what if we find out, well, so-and-so had a miscarriage by this guy. And you start finding that kind of, it can unravel everything.
It can get nasty.
Yeah, it can get very, and then they're going to sue.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's going to get ugly. So Sony, they go, let us be clear. The only decision that we have made with respect to release of the film was not to release it on Christmas Day. Without theaters, we could not release it in the theaters on Christmas Day. We had no choice. After that decision, we immediately began actively surveying alternatives to enable us to release the movie on a different platform.
Oh, Sony's stupid.
It is still our hope that anyone who wants to see this movie will get the opportunity to do so. But then Sony's CEO, he came out and said, we'll put it on VOD, but... no VOD platform will have us. But then Sony owns Crackle.
I'm gonna say bullshit.
Yeah, so that sounds like bullshit.
Well,
that part right there.
Wait till everybody actually sees this movie, and they're gonna be like, what?
You know what? It's gonna be a shame when the movie comes out and it's like, eh.
It's only so and so.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's getting mixed reviews.
Yeah, this isn't about the quality of the movie.
At this point,
it's
not
just
even
about
close.
The fact that it exists.
And because all this shit went down, like I saw a lot on Twitter, people were like, I wanna see this movie now just because it's the patriotic thing to do.
And here's
to fuck North Korea. How dare you guys tell us what movie we can and cannot watch?
And here's a weird byproduct of that. Watch how Franco and Rogan turn into these, like, First Amendment
weird spokesperson
heroes,
yeah,
for some weird way,
yeah. Well, yeah. Never intended for it to happen.
I mean, he's already been in front of Congress, and they ignored him.
Yeah,
you know, like this is gonna.
That's true. He did do that whole thing where
they walked out.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job too himself. I thought.
But they're gonna become some weird folk heroes now.
I can see that happening.
Unlike Two Live Crew,
they're also very upfront though about what they're doing. Like if you hear interviews with Rogan, he's like, "Look, yeah, we made a movie where we wanted to satirize North Korea, show other people the horrors that's going on in there, but yeah, we're also going to do it through the veil of like 1,000 dick jokes."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's don't come to us for huge political issues. We're going to make satire, but we're not issues guys. We're still going to make you. We're trying to make you laugh.
Right. I wonder if they're in any real danger, personally.
Probably not. I mean, the North Koreans are really already known for their international assassin program.
Yeah, but they can buy it. If they can bankroll a hack, they can bankroll a...
Yeah. Well, the hack, what do you need with the hack? A few computers, a couple of landlines, a T1.
Some smart guys.
A couple of smart guys that you kidnap from China.
Well, let's hack Paramount. Come on.
All right.
Do it.
I think by now I hope they would have updated their Norton antivirus.
You think so?
Seriously.
Let's cut the firewall off.
Hey, you ever see this movie, this animated movie, Fire and Ice? Moving on from the poster. You ever see that?
I've seen that poster.
From the 80s, you seen the poster, Fire and Ice? You ever watch that, Drew?
No.
The animated
movie?
Never
saw it.
That artwork is, what's his name, Frank Frazetta. He does that style of art. It's always like a guy standing on a mountain holding a sword. And like
Conan.
Conan, exactly. Exactly that type of stuff. He's done a lot of things like that. Robert Rodriguez is taking this animated movie he did in the 80s, Fire and Ice, and he's making a live-action movie of it. So,
oh, okay.
So imagine, like, you know, sword and sandal, fantasy epic, but a lot of, like, you know, fire and brimstone.
And ice.
And this dude with a crazy... and ice. This guy with a crazy, like, bear thing hat on, and he's rolling around with a battle axe. And they're just finding chicks with big breasts.
All the time. Okay.
They're everywhere for some reason.
Battle axe, bear hat.
Battle axe, bear hat, big breasts.
And then the women are going to be wet because that fire and ice.
Mm-hmm. Water. Yeah, it calls the water and the rain and stuff. Guillermo del Toro is making a horror film that's going to be his first English language big budget horror movie. This guy, it's the director of Hellboy and Hellboy 2.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes.
Kevin?
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. No, I didn't.
Oh, that's a crazy one. It's, that one's like an adult fairy tale where it's literally a fairy tale about a little girl and there's fairies involved. But then there's like monsters.
Then it gets creepy.
And it gets crazy. Oh, it's an R-rated movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like 100% all the way. Really good. He's made, this guy has made really good, like small, intense Spanish horror films. Mm-hmm. And then when he made English movies, they've always been like Blade 2, Mimic, the Hellboy movies, Pacific Rim.
Oh, okay.
His most recent one. That, yeah. He's made all these, and all his movies are getting bigger and bigger, but they're also these studio movies.
Yeah.
He's making a film called Crimson Peak, and it's his first, like, English language, a version of his Spanish movies, but it's, you know, and he's making a haunted house movie, and I have some details here. I've been hearing about this movie for a while. First, check out, here's the first image they released. Jessica Chastain, chick from Zero Dark Thirty. They dyed her hair black and put her in that gothic outfit.
So yeah, I didn't even recognize her.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the style that they're going for in the movie. And they write... oh, here we go. Del Toro describes the movie. Crimson Peak is a much smaller movie than Pacific Rim. Completely character-driven. It's an adult movie. R-rated. Pretty adult. Shockingly different from anything I've done in the English language. This movie's tone is scary. And it's the first time I get to do a movie more akin to what I do in the Spanish movies. The thing I do in those movies is recontextualization. That's a big word. Mm. Take a movie and then move it into a completely different place, like a gothic, and then move it into the Spanish Civil War. This is a gothic romance, haunted house in the north of England.
Okay, I see.
Also, it's Jessica Chastain is the lead. He wanted to make a movie with the female lead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to go female lead these days, can't go any bigger than, Jennifer Lawrence. Mm-hmm. You're about Jennifer Lawrence is going to be in the Ghostbusters?
I heard about her. It's her and who's the whole cast? I heard there's like four of them.
What was it? Melissa McCarthy for sure, yeah, but not Kristen Wiig.
Oh, that's where they messed it up.
That's a surprise. Right there. But then they're bringing in Jennifer Lawrence.
She's not as funny. She's not replacing Kristen Wiig.
Funny. No.
She's going to be the action.
She's going to be the one that's going to make the movie $250 million. Dollars. She's the one.
She's kind of goofy, though.
She can be goofy.
I seen her neck.
I mean, in a good way.
She looked goofy.
Who else? Melissa McCarthy, Jennifer Lawrence.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
Which one? That's the one that you called a while back. And
called Emma Stone?
You did call Emma Stone, I remember that.
Yeah.
This one, none of us called this one. Lizzie Kaplan, the girl from Masters of Sex.
Yeah.
And she's actually in the interview.
Yeah, the interview.
The CIA chick with the glasses who's that recruits them.
Any Melissa McCarthy, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
They gotta have her.
And there was
if you don't have Kristen Wiig, you gotta have Melissa, because you gotta have a hardcore funny person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's that one for sure. Oh, Lizzie Kaplan's funny too. She was also in Cloverfield.
Yeah, yeah, she was.
She's the one that the guy who holds the camera,
the one that was shaky.
The one that's shaking the camera. Yeah, he didn't so much hold the camera, he didn't shake it. But he liked that one girl, and he kept hitting on her. And then she got sick later because she got scratched, and then she blew up.
Yep,
and then pops like
all I remember that is that big ass monster. That's all.
That was pretty big ass. And that monster was the baby too. Did you know that?
Ooh,
the mama's out there somewhere waiting for that Cloverfield too.
Mm.
That's it. I like Cloverfield.
Yeah,
that was good. There was a fifth person. Who was the fifth?
I forget.
But anyway, so Jennifer,
Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu. You know what? I like Lucy Liu. Speaking of that, Mark Wahlberg, he confirmed, thank God, he's coming back for Transformers 5.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank.
Just what I always wanted.
Thank God.
I don't know. What can they do with it now?
I don't know what. You know what they can do? They can pick up the story where they left off the end of the fourth one. At the end of the fourth one, Optimus Prime, he's like,
He was on Dancing with the Stars.
He's on Dancing with the Stars, and he doesn't break down, and then he comes in second place.
Right.
And he's so disappointed, he's like, I'm going to go confront my God, my maker. Puts on his rocket shoes. His feet become rockets. He puts one fist in the air.
He flies away.
And he flies off into outer space to go find his creators. To go find God. He's going to go punch God in the face with his robot fist.
He might run out of gas.
The movie seriously did end that way. Not with the Dancing with the Stars part, but with him flying off into space to go find his God.
Oh, I was
going to
say, that other part was totally believable.
The Dancing with the Stars part? Yeah. That would have been cool.
Man, you stepped on his...
It came down to him and Tommy Chong.
Stepping on his partner's toes,
and then
man.
Tommy Chong won. He kept stepping on his toes. Yeah, they kept destroying the set.
That's horrible.
It's like, we know you got this far because the people's voting up to the audience.
Yeah, Optimus Prime, he got the phones read.
You got to get you out of here. But yeah, he's back. No word of Michael Bay's coming back.
Mm.
But... you know, the last one made over $1 billion.
Damn.
$800 million of that was in international dollars.
How are these movies so big and I didn't see them?
Because
they're not for me.
They're not for you.
No, they're for like teenagers.
They're for teenagers, they're for kids, and they're for the Chinese market. Kids. They're for the British market.
Yeah.
The Brazilian market is a big one now.
Really?
Yeah.
What is? Okay.
Yeah, all these emerging countries, all these emerging economies. One of the things they keep building are movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Movie theaters are big for cultures.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's why, going back to the Sony thing, that's why Korea wanted to shut it down. You know, they have their own movie industry in North Korea, where they're just state-funded, state-sponsored movies. They're all about how great the Kim Jong family is.
I was told that, you know,
how bad Americans are.
When they're talking about the infrastructure in Korea, that the average Korean doesn't even know that the internet exists, let alone access to it. They have an intranet.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet that they've, it's the
they information don't even know it exists.
That's crazy. But now, people are sneaking in. There's a black market. A lot of flash drives are coming in with information outside entertainment. They're starting to see things. They see something on a TV show, like people going to a store,
a Coke,
to buy food, a Coke.
Yep.
Very, very simple things. Yes, and it's like there's a whole world out there.
When they have their Arab Spring, it's going to be crazy.
It's
gonna be crazy. And then there's going to be a new explosion of North Korean porn, unlike we've never.
Things we never even thought of.
Like, yes. Well, I didn't even know they had an orifice there. New orifice.
Real quick. David Fincher, who just did Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Right? He announced a couple of projects he's working on with HBO. He's doing, he's directing the pilot for an HBO show called Living on Noise. And it's a show about the 80s music video scene.
Okay.
And he's huge. He directed some of the biggest music videos of the 80s, Madonna videos and stuff like that. So he's he knows a lot.
Who are they going to get to play the MTV VJs?
That's the thing.
You gotta have them.
You'll probably get some of them to come back.
Kennedy? Martha Quinn.
Kennedy's not doing nothing.
You like Quinn Kennedy?
Nah, actually.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Wubble, wubble, wubble.
She looks the same.
That's weird. I saw her on the Eric Andre show.
What's his name? Speaking of Eric Andre show, I don't know. Sway, remember him?
Yeah, he's still doing his thing.
He was in the top five. He popped up real quick as himself.
Okay.
Sway.
He's still huge.
Like, yeah.
No, I mean,
Sway
like...
Sway is swole.
He does what, hip-hop? He does,
So does, Yeah. I think it was him doing a show.
He does a morning show.
Yeah, like exactly. LA, yeah. That's what it was. And David Fincher's also working on a LA Confidential type of TV show called Shakedown.
50s. Crime.
Yeah, 50s crime. Exactly. LA 50s crime noir. It's the same writer, James Ellroy, who wrote LA Confidential.
A lot of fedoras and cigars and shadows. Yes. And look ahead,
a lot of brown jackets A lot of yellows and browns.
Yellows and browns.
Based on a real person who was like kind of the loose basis for LA Confidential. So it's kind of like the real version of LA Confidential, but then still Hollywoodized, you know. So we're getting some more David Fincher.
Fincher.
That works for me, I think. Does that bring us in? That brings us to the end here. Let me pull up. We got one more surprise for you, Kevin.
What is it?
Another new thing on the show.
Oh, man.
It's time for the lightning round.
Uh-oh.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Oh, man. There you go. Sounds like the worst alarm clock music ever. Yeah. I'd be like,
that would be a horrible way
wake
to
up,
wake
it's
up.
Metal.
Yes. Horrible way to wake
it'll
up.
It'll get you up, though.
Here we go. Lightning round time. We got a special Xmas edition for Kevin. Hope you're ready.
Ooh, Christmas.
Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one. Does Xmas take the Christ out of Christmas?
No, it doesn't. It adds more oomph to it.
Number two. Candy canes or candy corn?
Oh, man. Candy cane.
Number three. Name all of Santa's reindeer.
Okay, you got Donner.
Yes.
You got Blitzen.
Yes.
You got Rudolph.
Yes.
You got Pokey.
No.
Wait a minute. Zanzibar.
Close.
Elvin.
All right.
Who am Donner?
Donner
and Blitzen. I said.
You said Donner, Blitzen, and Rudolph.
And Rudolph.
And then
how many more are there?
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
damn.
6 more.
I'm getting them mixed up with the seven dwarves. Okay, so give me one of them.
Dasher.
Dasher. Yes, he's one.
On Dasher.
On Dancer.
Dancer.
On Donner. On Blitzen.
Prancer.
On Blitzen.
Comet Cupid. Donner Blitzen.
Yeah.
Donner Blitzen. You're still missing one.
Rudolph.
Who said him?
You said Rudolph.
Yeah.
Dasher, Vixen, Dancer,
Vixen.
Prancer, Vixen.
I didn't hear you say Vixen.
I said Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen.
You said it so fast.
I need to have a kid.
Dancer, Dasher.
Dasher, Dancer.
Donna Dixon?
Donner Dixon.
Donner Dixon. Number four. Frosty the Snowman was first recorded in what year?
Oh, this was in 47.
Oh, 1950. So close.
I was going to say 50, but I thought it came out a little before that.
Yeah, 1950, right on the nose. Number five. Did you hang your Christmas stockings this year?
We did not hang Christmas stockings.
No,
no we did not.
All right. Number six.
I don't think we have any.
Eggnog, yay or nay?
Yay.
Number seven. Have you ever actually kissed anyone under a mistletoe?
Just like, not like, just like novelty. Like, what do you mean? Yes,
yeah,
I guess.
Quick little.
I mean, I had the mistletoe.
Okay. Yeah. Number eight. Have you ever made a snowman?
Never.
Something never, you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I do one. I made a mud man.
Let's see.
No, I grew up in Florida.
That sounds horrible. Made a mud man this morning. What are some of your favorite reindeer games?
Some of them. Oh, I like to. Oh, I got one. I like playing Ring the Sleigh Bells.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. Number 10. And number 10 is a bonus Christmas word association round. Here we go. I give you the word.
Bonus.
Number one, cookies.
Cookies.
I'll give you what word comes to mind. Cookies.
Monster.
Number two, tree.
Tree what?
Oh, it's word association.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Just skip that when I come back to it.
Number three, presents.
Presents. Tree.
Number four, red. Number four, red.
Red. Gold.
Number five, green.
Green. Pudding.
Number six, Grinch. Pudding.
Pudding.
Tree. Number seven, Christmas.
Christmas.
Number eight, New Year's.
New Year's, getting drunk.
Number nine, peanuts.
Peanuts. Charlie Brown.
Number 10, dinner.
Dinner. Biscuits.
Going back to number two, tree.
Tree. Sap.
All right, there you go.
I got nothing on
this. That's good enough.
What does this game mean? Nothing or everything?
It means everything. Nothing and everything.
It means everything.
It's so we can get inside your brain and we know what's going on.
I don't like that. People are dissecting.
And apparently it's a... Here we go. I'm from special Christmas swag bag, Drew.
Oh man.
Let's break out the swag bag for Mr.
SBK. We know that you're dreaming of a camo Christmas this year.
Yes, I am. I like that.
That's a camo Christmas bag. So here we go. Break it out. What did Kevin get for Christmas?
Hey!
We got you a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer Lip Pop Lollipop.
What? Hey!
Abominable
Snowman. It's perfect.
We got you 8-count of Christmas pencils.
Oh, I love pencils, man. I use them.
Yeah, you always need a pencil. With the eraser.
I like to do that.
A holiday-style Believe in Magic oven mitt.
Hey, I'll use this.
Functional.
It is functional.
We got you a glow-in-the-dark dog poop.
Boom. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. This is disgusting.
It's ridiculous.
We got you a set of gingerbread man holiday magnets.
Do you crack yourself up with these?
I do. Yeah, every time.
We have you a copy of issue number 43 of the Conan Saga.
Oh, wow. That's like a real magazine. Look, he's got arm hair under his armpit.
Treasure Hunt, $1.95, Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh,
you get to watch that, and we got you a couple of the brand new Cinema Crest Pizza stickers.
Couple more stickers for you there, buddy.
Man, this is like major awards.
It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas, sir. I almost bought a bag of gummy bears, too.
Oh, well.
That would have put it over the top.
But like you did.
It's almost like I did.
Yeah, this is awesome, man. I don't know. This is a major award here.
It's a major reward.
I'm going to keep this just like in the car for like a ride mitt.
There you go.
I'm riding around.
Keep you nice and warm during the cold or in the winters.
When I like to shake bum tans.
Yes.
You got to do that.
Yes, a bum mitt.
While they come over and to clean the window. They don't do that down here. Where they just start cleaning your window.
Got
to stay
ground.
Rage Against Twit hit us up on Twitter.
Again?
Yeah, just a couple minutes ago.
That guy needs to get a job.
Kill List Mini Review. Because he saw Kevin talking about Kill List online. So Kill List Mini Review, Mumbly English, Dirty Job, Blood Sacrifice,
Whoa.
Turn Up.
All right. I like Blood Sacrifice.
I think almost did.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it there.
You can suck on this.
Yeah, you suck it on one side like a pacifier, like a lollipop pacifier.
And then it gives you the funky teeth on the outside.
It gives me the abominable snowman.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mouth.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Your girl's going to love see me with that one tonight.
Yes, I'm going to have it on Instagram.
Kevin, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, man. You guys have, thanks for having me. I appreciate the show, man. And
you guys
keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, man, 18 grams of sugar.
Oh, yeah. That's all it is sugar. It's 18 grams of pure sugar.
And 22 grams of carbs.
How do they squeeze the carbs in there?
Sugar is carbs.
I think it's the...
It's no, gluten.
Sugar is carbs.
They added gluten to it.
No, the sugar is the carbs.
I made sure to get the ones that are gluten added.
Sugars are carbohydrates.
Gluten. I like extra gluten.
Merry Christmas, Drew.
Merry Christmas, Chris.
Yeah, that took a second there. He's looking for his box cutter. Click, click, click.
Clickety, clackety, clickety,
clickety. Remember, if you want some free stickers, hit us up on cinemacrestmediso@gmail.com. Send us your address and we'll mail you some stickers. And we are out of here. Fuck you, North Korea.